me with a ha-ha when he leaves. Don't worry.
Does he?
Most of the time.
Of course he does.
Only appropriate, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got 6:30. I'm going to call this meeting to order. Everybody can stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. John Christie can lead that again.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Before we recognize visitors, I would just like to say, keep in mind these meetings are recorded and available on our website to listen to. So just keep that in mind as we're talking. We like to have fun. We like to get business done. So let's not get carried away and remember that this is recorded. You know, if we're talking about some stuff, it's available on our website. So keep that in mind. And with that, I'll recognize visitors. John and Julia Cotter.
Yeah. Probably not going to stay the whole length of the meeting. I've done that a couple times here. But Julie and I wanted to come tonight personally to thank the City Council for all the work you guys do. And personally, I'm very proud of you, Brady, for being our mayor. And I want to wish each and every one of you a happy new year and a prosperous new year.
It sounded better when you practiced in the car. Yeah, we're sorry we missed the inauguration in December, but here we are tonight, a month late, as we've already been appropriately reminded. Yes, we appreciate very much all the hard work that, whether you're new to the City Council, have already been on the City Council, I know you've spent a lot of hours volunteering and other things. One thing I'd like to make a special note of, I really appreciated when you added the shredded service to the large trash pickup day, I think we had in November or October, whenever it was. That was a very nice service, and I hope that continues. For those of us that don't have a business, you know, we don't collect boxes and boxes of stuff to be shredded, and yet on the other hand, when we try to do it in our own little shredding machine, it becomes very tedious. So I hope that is a service that you will continue to provide because it was very much appreciated. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Guys. And, for those that don't know, I've known Cotter for my whole life. And one thing Sean and I do have in common is that we both tend to get a little emotional, whether it be at weddings or City Council meetings. But been friends forever. Love you guys. Love your family. Thank you for coming down. Appreciate it. And yeah, the shredded event was Zach Gale and Aaron that kind of coordinated that.
Kathy.
And I think we're planning on doing that again.
Yeah.
So I think everybody liked that. So. Okay. Well, thanks, guys. Betsy Roseman.
First of all, welcome to all the new people on council, and welcome back to the others. And in particular, I've got to give my kudos to Brady. And I don't know if there's anybody here except the two of you that knew his grandmother, Norma Lilja, but she was a force to be reckoned with. Was she city clerk for a while?
She was. In fact, mm-hmm. She was clerk at the same time Fred Braun was on the council. So you can imagine how that was. Yeah.
But my fondest memories of your grandmother, and I know she is just so thrilled to have you sitting there, was her adherence to Robert's Rules of Order. Back in the day in Garden Club, when I was first installed, I was terrified because your grandmother had to install me. And I had witnessed her do that for years. I was like, I do. I will. Yes. So I feel like the council is in really good hands with someone who grew up with rules of order and how to conduct a meeting. So all my best to you, Brady.
Thank you.
And the council.
Thank you.
But I have trash to talk.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of you probably don't know how the dumpsters got there. And if you'll bear with me for a little bit. Brady knows because he was on council back then. I think it was about 10 years ago. At the time, Jeff and Bob decided it was not going to collect yard waste anymore. And at about the same time, we decided we should get a real contract. We kind of had this nebulous thing that we didn't really even have a contract. They just came and picked up the trash and the city paid for it. So about that time, we came into the new age where we got the carts, the cart that everybody has now in their yards. And at that time, we decided maybe the best way to do yard waste was to have the two dumpsters. Actually, they were going to provide one dumpster. I think that was the initial contract. Maybe, Gail, you remember seeing it. I kind of handed it on to you. But anyway, so that was kind of the deal. And then we said, no, let's do two. Anyway, we've had those two at the same time. We also got the cardboard box one, and we also had the ripple glass placed there. I think it's a great service that the city provides, but I think it's time to take it away. Because it is a horrendous eyesight. I mean, John can probably tell you what he's pulled out of the leaf container. My husband's great about, you know, taking all our cardboard boxes, smashing it down, and very carefully taking it over there. And every time he comes back, he's just fit to be tied because he goes there, and nobody's bothered to collapse their boxes. There's 30, 40 boxes just sitting there. And it's a mess. And it's unfortunate that this happens everywhere in society where you have a good thing going, and there's a few people that kind of mess it up, and so we say, we can't do this anymore. But I think if you would think about contacting Waste Management, I just made some phone calls today, and I was in particular curious what neighboring cities do. I have a daughter that lives in Shawnee. They pay $32 a month to Waste Management. With Waste Management, you do have curbside pickup for yard waste every single week, and it is from January to September. You can have 8 bags of yard waste in kind of paper bags, and then from October through December, you can have 10, which is more of the time when you would have more leaves. Now, I know John said he might have 30 bags, but maybe he's got a friend next door, so he could put 10 at his neighbor's and 10 at the other, you know, whatever, it could be worked out. But what I'm saying is I think it's time to get rid of the big dumpsters for the leaf and trees and instead offer this instead of having those there. In addition to that, and I went up there today because I haven't been there in years because we have the glass and the paper here, but if you just go right underneath the bridge and take the very first left up into Deffenbaugh, there are, I don't think it's open 24 hours a day, but you can drop off your cardboard right there. We used to do it all the time before we had the boxes right here. It's not that much of an imposition if you are willing to recycle, right? Those of you that want to recycle, you put it in your car like we used to do 12 years ago. How convenient for those of us that live right here just to drop it off. 5-minute drive. So I think that would kind of take care of our terrible sight of trash that we now have, which soon will be behind our beautiful community center. And I just think it's time to get rid of it. I was thinking of other ways to take care of that. I thought maybe we could fence it, right? And have a doorknob. And I guess today people can have the doorbell rings at your house, the picture comes up, you could come up the gate, but still, it's going to be a hassle. So why not just say, hey, we tried it, it worked out well, but instead we're going to pay for this. I don't know when you're going to be redoing the contract with Waste Management. It seems like it's usually right around.
I think it's 20 or 21. I mean, it's coming up. Last year when we were talking about all the costs of when they wanted to up our recycling,
right.
And I think our contract was a year and a half away. From that. Is that right, Erin?
I think that sounds right.
But are you suggesting to have them, I mean, what would they, are you saying that we, the residents would pick up a cost if we wanted
city.
It?
The city
would.
I'm saying find out, because I think our contract is through a homeowners association. An individual in Shawnee pays X amount, because most of them aren't enough homeowners. So I think our contract with Deffenbaugh runs about, that's $12,000 a year, Erin. I don't have that.
Oh no, we're way higher than that.
Way higher than that.
Yeah.
But so, do you think it's if we've got 400 homes,
We are at around 70,000 a year.
70,000 a year, so that divided by 400 homes is what?
John's doing math right now.
Thanks.
I agree with almost everything you said. Every time I go down there, it's a disaster. I saw a lawnmower, a microwave. I you know, mentioned something in my merit report.
Yes, good thing. Yes.
However, I hate just to make a decision, you know, tonight to get rid of it without maybe trying to do some things first. We spent some money pouring that concrete pad down there for it. You know, it is a good thing to have down there. So I'm willing to look into other options, whether it's video cameras, Ring doorbell. But, man, I just hate to get rid of it real quick. Go ahead, John.
If I could maybe go on that, too. When I talked to Mike Olson, he got called out of town. He was going to be here today.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what it is. The lawnmower and microwave, Mike Olson and I pulled out.
Yeah.
And the lawnmower, by the way, had the gasoline still in it.
Yeah.
My understanding is that that particular dumpster, when it's hauled away, we're not paying recycling price. It's a penalty every time.
Because of the stuff in it?
Because of what's in there.
Yeah.
Well, you've seen the pictures. People throw their decks out. The whole decks are thrown in the leak.
Yeah.
I honestly think the best thing we got going out here, one of the many things, is those leaf dumpsters.
Yeah.
And the reason why, and this is where I disagree a little bit with Betsy, I like it because I clean up leaves, as everybody else does on weekends, and they're gone. Mm-hmm. They're not sitting along the street till Wednesday or Thursday when they pick them up. We got to do something. It is absolutely out of control. Now that I'm kind of coordinating all the maintenance for here in the interim, not a general manager, if you go back there now, we've literally cleaned all of that crap, all the way up to golf maintenance. We're putting, McEnany's putting all the road grindings in there. We're going to put in a gravel parking lot with stones around it so we can get the basketball courts, tennis courts. We've really spent some time cleaning that up once and for all.
Yeah.
There's two options. One, and I've talked to a lot of people, get rid of the cardboard dumpster.
That seems
get
to
rid
be
of it right now. We are paying full price anyway. It is so abused. I did not know you could go down there.
Yeah.
If you take time, you can pull the cardboard up and put it in the bin in front of your house.
Yeah.
This morning, if you went down there, yes, we had holidays. It is just, it's a disaster. And they won't pick it up if it's not in the dumpster. And there's a group of us, more than just, you know, a few of us. There's like 20 of us that go down there and they do it. Before we remove the yard waste dumpsters, I would like us to look at other options. Is there a way we could possibly move them, and I understand the cost of the slab, down to where the construction gate is now once the community center is done and have a code where Deffenbaugh can back in there, grab them, and go? Because right now, because they took that road out when they put that other tennis court in, Deffenbaugh has to back down that road to get to, which we just put a new road in, if you all noticed today. And they can't go down and turn around. They have to literally back all the way to it, pick it up, and go.
So you're saying take it all the dumpster all the way down almost to the fence on Holiday?
On Holiday.
And there would there be a gravel road for vehicles, residents' vehicles? Or?
Well, the residents can still get down there.
Just drive.
The gravel construction road is there, so a possibility, and I haven't even really gone to the board on this. I was going to talk to the board, queuing for this month on it. I'm going to talk more about Lakes Residential. I'm trying to figure out a way to save those yard waste, but I don't even know. That may be another one of these boats on an access point. I don't know.
Well, I'm just thinking if somebody's driving their truck with a...
Oh, you can drive your truck down there.
Well, on a muddy day.
Yeah, it's gravel. They've
that gravel's going to go away.
Trucks in.
Okay, that gravel's going to go away. It's going to get muddy again, so I would like to address that. I mean,
I don't
hate the idea.
I thought about that because John had talked to me about that idea. But I'm kind of opposed to that idea because, again, it's a place where you can sneak down there. I mean, I thought maybe let's put it behind Q Inc. office or somebody always inside Q Inc. office. They're going to be out there looking. Not that we want that behind Q Inc. office, but it's a little more visible there than it is down there. Right now, people can go down there any time of day and do that. So, and I kind of looked at it today where it could possibly be parked, but it is a little more visible right there. I think the visibility thing is kind of key right now. The other thing would be, and I didn't look at the slab this afternoon, but to build some kind of a fence around it and have hours. Maybe it'd be all weekend, but only have it open on the weekends. But maybe go ahead and also see about having it curbside pickup. We could do both. I mean, so if people just want to put it in bags, and they don't, if they have a place to store it till trash pickup day, and I don't know if the leaf pickup is on the same day or a different day, but if it's just a slight increase and people can actually just put it curbside, then that might also.
I just think we need to look at options. I would like to see, personally, the cardboard dumpster needs to go. And Gail, you and I talked about this a month ago. I mean, it's costing y'all a lot, I mean, because the city is going to pay. But we do need to look at options on that. And worst case, they need to go away.
Yeah.
Part of the other problem is, and I think a lot of the contractors are using that, and they back their truck up and just dump the leaves.
Yeah.
That's another whole issue.
Yeah, it was all in front. Nobody even bothered.
I saw the pile.
And the glass, there's not a lot of places to recycle glass, so I kind of like the glass.
Yeah. You can do it right up the street. All you have to do is drive. Maybe people do it. You know, it's like huge ripple.
I think John and maybe Greg had some comments.
Yeah. Well, I'm all for trying to fix what we have before we make any sweeping moves. But I feel, Betsy, you can vouch for this. I mean, it looks like Christmas every Wednesday outside my house next to the recycling deal, because I don't think most people realize that there's unlimited recycling. So I just save all my boxes and you throw them next to the cart. And there's these last few weeks, there's been 80 boxes out there, and they take them all because that's part of the contract. And I don't think a whole lot of people know that. So, you know, my thought would be looking towards a, you know, whether it's a black box flyer that says, hey, look, this is a problem. The city's going to do something if this doesn't get under control. Just so you know, here's the rules. Here's what, you know, there's yard waste. It has to go in the reciprocal. If you have a, you know, I don't know if there's a way to levy fines, but if you have a contractor that's caught utilizing it, it's a $500 fine. You know, I'd like to see us try to do some of those things first. And one other thought, and this may be a little counterintuitive, and I'm asking not stumping for this, but when the cardboard was put down there, that was before the Amazon effect has gotten as crazy as it has. Do we need three of them? Do we just?
I know what you're saying.
They're not putting cardboard in it. That's the problem.
There's styrofoam in it. There's nothing
styrofoam. With all due respect, I mean, Gail planned a fantastic recycling seminar. We have black box. We can help. I'm afraid right now that we got that whole area cleaned up, I'm going to come through there in the spring and I have trees dumped there again. Just because they do it.
Yeah.
And it's.
Yeah, but and so I don't think I knew that, because we're always, we're always contained within our, and then the fannies across the street, they'll borrow our extra, but I don't know that everybody knows that you can just put as much recycling on your curb as possible.
The recycling.
As long as it's broken down.
The garbage, they
do ask how it's broken down, but I just, box money.
But the glass,
and also, if you have more trash, it used to be you could come to City Hall and you could buy a trash bag for whatever, or you put a sticker on it or something.
Yeah, you can buy 10 of them for $12.50 trash stickers.
But unfortunately, and maybe I'm being pessimistic, but I think there's going to be abusers no matter how much information we put out there. But I think it's worth a try to explore that and definitely to find out from Duff and Bob about, for the interim, to at least add that part to it, that where you have curbside yard waste pickup. And to remind people about the great thing that it can't be more than 2 miles, right? So why did I need to? It's right there.
You know, there's one positive about the dump now.
Yeah, it is. And then they've got ripple glass. It's ripple glass. You can take the cans. You can take cardboard. Everything is right there.
Yeah.
So at least that's some information I found out, and I'd appreciate.
So how do we think people would react on? I mean, okay, so we have all the abusers that abuse the recyclable one, and then the contractors that use the other, but. I mean, I know we really like the Ripple glass there, and we do a lot of business down there in those Ripple containers, you know, compared to for the size of community we are. And I'm afraid that that would be a very unpopular thing to remove. And I'm wondering, does it feel like it's a problem?
The glass?
Glass is not, I guess I'm jumping in here, the glass is not as big a problem as it was when you went to the Ripple with those garbage can things.
Yeah.
There's a lot more of them. Mm-hmm. Before, yeah, it was terrible. Mm-hmm. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Well, my concern would be if you take the cardboard thing away, people just start chucking cardboard in the yard waste. I mean, if people are abusing it if they're putting other items on the cardboard.
You know, I hate to bring up the word dog, but it's kind of like, you know, OJ always says, you don't want to, the 5% of bad dogs are going to ruin it for the 95% of good dogs and dog owners. And yeah, if we got away with, or did away with it, yeah, it would.
The Ripple.
Yeah, well, just everything. I think if it comes down to that, that's a decision we'd have to make. But I'm not ready to make it without looking into some other options. And Gail can look into the curbside pickup. John, you can talk to QA.
I'm
going
to go to the board this month. I'm going to bring it up just as a discussion point.
Yeah. I mean, the only other thing I can think of just sitting up here is security cameras.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to punish the guilty, not the innocent.
Yes. Yes.
And one of the convenient factors of Lake Quivira in general is the golf cart society that we have here. And I love being able to just, you have glass. It smells. You know, it's like a liquor smell or, you know, whatever. And you just throw it back in your golf cart. You zip down. Same with leaves. They're flying all over the place in the golf cart. It doesn't matter. I'm going to hose it out. I don't want it in my car. And I can just, you know, load that stuff up and go down there. But it drives me crazy when we go down to the compost one, and it's full of lumber, metal, lamps. We were just down there this weekend, and we need to find a way to educate people and to punish the guilty, not the innocent. I mean, that 95% of the people are using it the right way. If there are contractors abusing it, we find them. If there are, you know, people, you know, I don't know what the right solution is, but it feels like it's a great convenience for the community, and it does fit in with the golf cart way of getting around it here. And it's an important
thing. Well, they're not as convenient as they used to be when they took out that piece of rope.
Oh, we still go down there.
I'm talking about the trucks.
Oh, yeah.
We just spent almost $100,000 redoing that whole road around the community center.
For waste management to get back there, yeah.
And in there with those big trucks. I'm afraid we're going to start tearing things up. That's where I think we need to look at alternate places for them as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anyway, I couple options that maybe, I don't want it to all go away.
Right.
We love it, but I think it's just become a use. So
yeah.
You could look into some options.
I think we're all kind of saying the same thing, kind of on the same page. So
yeah.
Fire station play there. Use the old fire station.
You mean next door as we walk in the door?
I don't know. That may be the stench, maybe that problem, but
Well, I appreciate that. See, I think,
we're open to it.
We'll look into it.
No trash
rolling
in there.
One other real quick thing, maybe quick. I know that there is conversation about what to do with the fire station. And some of you still know my dream about improving Holiday Drive. I noticed that last month we discussed street lights, and I thought, well, when you're talking street lights, adding them to the ugly power poles, are you nuts? But what I thought was, the city, I don't think, has ever done this, or I didn't ever do it in my 11 years. Why don't we, is it legal to have, like, ad hoc committees? So if Annie's going to be in charge of what we can do with the fire station, can she go out and get a committee of non-elected people and actually bring them into the chambers on a Wednesday afternoon, people who've never even been into the building, and have them talk about things going on in the city and make comments? Is that...
Well, first of all, I apologize. This is Michelle Days. I don't know if you guys all met her. She's in for Ellis tonight, so sorry about that. Michelle, I should have done that right off the bat. So, I guess your question?
You know, community committees are always an option. Obviously, they wouldn't be taking any action. They wouldn't be binding, but certainly they can... kind of do the legwork, if you want to call it that. Do the legwork, talk about it, get feedback from their neighbors, like you say, that might not be comfortable coming into an actual council meeting. And then a report can be given back to the council. Ultimately, anything that would be done on behalf of the city would ultimately obviously have to come back to this board.
And we could only have two council
correct.
Members. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Yes.
Right, but why not try, you know, I know I've been to the website, the whole idea that you're trying to do is to get people more aware of what goes on at council, because you can see the same people are always here at council because they want to come to the meetings. But if you have more people that are engaged on committees giving their input, then maybe you just kind of build a little bit.
I did ask them all to just to think about it and talk to their neighbors. And
I guess I just have some as a newbie here. Like, what are the legal, like, queuing versus us? And I know that's kind of what you said. To me, it's like, can we partner up with them on stuff? And is that, I mean, is there some strict line that as a city we're not allowed to, you know?
You know, it's going to depend on what the issue is. I mean, there's going to be things that absolutely have to be just city. I mean, it's a city obligation. It's a governmental type activity. It's something that you could not have private involvement in other than, you know, feedback, I guess. But then there's other things where you can have partnerships with private, public. You just, there's certain areas that if, you know, we came across something, we'd want to do the research and make sure that it was not an area that we couldn't do a private, public partnership. But there's a lot of things you can do with that. Again, you can always do something that's not binding. You can always get feedback from that entity. You can always get feedback from residents and involve them in the process, but then ultimately the city's making the decision. If, again, it's something that's a governmental type function. Long answer to say, it kind of depends on the factual scenario, but it's absolutely an option. I mean, I've worked with a lot of cities through the years where they've had formal boards, and then they've had others where it's just they invite people from the community to come in and give feedback.
So. Do committees need to be approved? So if Annie or Gail decides to go out and get a committee for improvement of Holiday Drive, does she have to come to council and say, hey, council, I've asked these five people to serve on the committee with me? Is that necessary?
If you're wanting to have it as an official committee that the council is recognizing for feedback, then I would say yes, you'd want to do that. I don't know that legally you'd be obligated to, but it would make it more formal, more official. Again, depending on the factual scenario, there may be some times it would actually need to be approved through a vote, but other times it would just be, here's the people that are involved, here's the people who are interested, the council gives a nod and says, fantastic, come back to us with ideas.
Isn't that similar to what Johnson County does? All their boards and commissions are all appointed by the Board of County Commissioners.
And some of that is statutory.
And one of the county commissioners is a representative at that.
Right. Some of that's statutory. Some of that is in their county code. They do have some things that they pass through the years just because of the sheer number of committees. They want to make sure that they're all being operated similarly. So while from a state statutory standpoint, it might not be required, they've implemented some things that they've made it a requirement at the county level.
But we are encouraged to reach out to our constituents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
And so at what point does it become recognized as this formal thing? Because it's like we're so unusual here because, you know, we have all the QWink stuff. And, you know, the mayor sits on a lot of those boards or committees or whatever, and we all are a part of that. And it feels like the only rule I understood was, it's like when we took the walk down Holiday Drive, and I wanted to have, you know, Dave and maybe Bruce and you know, you and the three of us, could not take a walk down Holiday Drive together. And so I know that's because of the sunshine rules. So that's in my mind, but I guess I never would have thought, like, getting a casual group of friends together to talk about this or that would be bad.
Again, as long as you're being careful that there's not too many council members.
Right.
Oh, no,
at the same time, or you also want to make sure that you have a couple council members in that and then having a conversation with the third council member. I mean, I think Ellis may have talked to you all about that, I think, last month. So, I mean, there's just some things you have to be careful with. You also want to be a little careful about not having so many committees that you start diluting the process.
Yeah.
I'd say perhaps pick the ones that are most important to the city council and then that you really want that more formal feedback as opposed to, like you said, just talking to your neighbors.
Well, I mean, like the fire.
Right.
I mean, that... there would be, everybody should be interested in what we're doing with that. And this group here, you know, couldn't possibly have all the answers to that and the options.
Well, we talked about it, you know, when Ben was mayor for 2 years, and
yeah,
we didn't come up with anything.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because we're a limited number, right? And so you talk about it, and then you go home, and Annie might call somebody up, or you might call somebody up. And so I said, well, what's the harm in actually forming a committee? And for Annie to say, you know what, I'm going to get 10 people or 5 people, and we're going to meet, because those 5 people all know 25 people, Jesus is going to get a lot more feedback than just Annie going, I'll ask Sally next time I see her.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was talking to Annie just via email about forming a committee. It'll be the city's 50th birthday next summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, we've got to do something. And so I thought, let's get Annie and maybe somebody else and form a committee. So I'm glad we brought it up and talked about it, but I think that's a great idea. Why not? So,
the same customers.
Yeah.
City customers are the same as the
Queen customers. All of you have already served on Q Inc. committees, lots of them, but how many people have served on city committees?
Right. No, I love the idea.
Not that many.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, and as you come up with different topics, I think we want to just be certain that there's
absolutely
not a staff supervision.
Yeah, definitely. And we sold the fire truck to get rid of and some other stuff. But.
Don't
mind. Yeah. No, I like that idea. I still would do it.
Have fun. Good night.
I got one other thing, Brady, just real quick.
I'm
going to mention the tree thing.
Okay.
Only because it's surfacing again. And that's concerning the placement of Christmas trees in the lake. Just a real quick history on this. Back January 2017, City Council passed. It was basically Clean Water Act. Had to put in a place of illicit discharge. It was a federal requirement, I believe. I personally wrote the illicit discharge response plan for the Q-Link site and implemented it. Later that year, the whole question came up. If you remember the fertilizer, when the fishing club was dumping 2,000 pounds of fertilizer a year into the lake, which we found is illegal, and took care of that. The question also came up concerning within that ordinance, it specifically states yard waste, basically of any kind, cannot be put in the lake. Somehow people feel that Christmas trees are not yard waste. You cut a tree down in your yard, you can't throw it in, but you can throw a Christmas tree in. So I don't understand that. But just to give you all a little history, it's come up again, it comes up every year. We first addressed it at Lake and Residential in October 2017. I can get you the minutes for that meeting. At that meeting, we also, Q-Link purchased over $3,000 a permanent fish habitat to be placed in the lake. For your information, the fishing club has never put that in the lake. It's still sitting over there unused. This has come up before the board, the January 23rd, 2018 meeting. I addressed it at Lake and Residential, February 15, 2018. I'm getting tired of it, by the way. I addressed it again, April 11, 2018. And once again, December 12, 2018. I understand whatever y'all's feelings on putting it in or whatever.
Real
how
quick,
you want to interpret
the main issue was, over time, these Christmas trees disintegrate and add to the silt problem that we already have. So that's kind of where this whole thing started.
Well, and basically what's happened, everybody can find a biologist. I brought all this. I actually met with Tony Stahl, who is with Kansas Wildlife and Water Quality Vision. This was reported in the April 2018 minutes. I actually had him come down here. He met with a group of the members, including Fishing Club representative and others, concerning this. That's where I wrote and have implemented the water quality testing program, which we've now done for 2 years. We actually showed you didn't need to fertilize. The water quality is better without it. We've increased the nitrogen and the phosphorus too high, which caused cloudiness, and we had all the complaints on the beach. I'd say he is the state expert on water quality and fish, or on lakes. Luke Kowalski is a fishery biologist. He basically said natural aquatic vegetation growth is the most desirable. The sporadic use of Christmas trees is not very effective. Artificially produced structures are desired due to the longevity. We bought one. It hasn't been put in.
basically through all of this, and I understand another resident came to the city saying, you know, the city said I could put it in this year. And with a discussion I had with Brady, Q Inc. has established a policy for the last 2 years, which is more restrictive, however you interpret the ordinance, than that ordinance. It says, no, you're not putting Christmas trees in. That's where the position is. So however y'all handle your ordinance or how it's defined, that's fine. But the Waycom Residential Committee and the Board of Directors has basically said, no, we're not putting Christmas trees in the lake. They do break down. A lot of them are being placed right at the spillway, just down from it. If they break, they go into there. They potentially, we know it clogs that grade up. A lot of things do. The depth of the lake is half of what it was many years ago. We're now down to 42, 43 feet at the deepest point. We're trying to control that. Last year, we spent $200,000 on dredging of different areas. We're spending the Duck Cove project, which is trying to also control siltation of that. The whole project now is $1.1 million, which we're spending $200,000 because Aaron and I did get the additional grant money that we went to the Board of County Commissioners for. So all I wanted to bring up and just to clarify for y'all, it is the policy of Covera Inc., the Homeowners Association, which is responsible for the water quality and the condition of the lake, is no to the Christmas tree. So I would ask the council also support that if you get the questions. And not get into
issues with the email blast that went out from Q News was the way it was worded, it sounded like it came directly from the city and that we passed an ordinance prohibiting Christmas trees. I really wish you would have added that Q Inc. and the Board of Directors and Lakin Residential have that rule yourself too. Because what happened was I got hammered with questions. Did you guys pass a new ordinance? And I said, well, the ordinance has always been there and it says yard waste. And I'm not here to argue what is considered yard waste, but people could interpret it in different ways.
A few do.
And a few do. We're not talking about a lot of people.
And you can blame me for that.
No, I'm not blaming you.
To be sent out.
Yeah.
I did not get a chance to review it before it actually, the button got hit.
Right.
But the intention was is to get the word out, to put them in the thing. Today we did go around and pick up a lot of trees. That's what we're trying to do.
But well, and I
just wanted to clarify that this discussion's gone on for 3 years.
Yeah.
Is there another issue, though, with something with the fishing club? It sounds like, I mean, that's not our issue, but it just sounds like in general.
Well, I don't know why. Like John said, they spent $3,000 on this artificial
it's still sitting there.
Fishing structure. Which,
I guess it's not an issue, but.
Yeah, it kind
just
of baffles.
I put one up on my phone, and it actually looks a lot better than Christmas tree.
Yeah, and they're supposed to be.
And they last longer.
They last longer. Everything about it is positive. And, you know, I think now that you guys are picking up Christmas trees on the side of the street and people are aware of this, the problem isn't as bad as it used to be. Like we talked about, there's a few people that still try and do it. It does create silt, but, you know, maybe 1% of the silt is coming in the lake if we're honest to yourself.
Well, it's debris is what it is. Annie, to answer your question, and I think Luke Kowalski and Tony Stahl, some of the best. The best conditions for fishing are the worst for recreation. The best conditions for recreational use, where you want clear water and all that, it's not good for fishing.
Yeah.
So what we have strived to do under Lakin Residential, and we've been very successful in the Midwest Lake Management Biologist, Stephen said it, with the water quality testing we're doing, we have finally reached over the last 2 years a balance. So that you can see your kids swimming, you know, deeper than 1 foot below the water, because the water quality they wanted it so low that you couldn't even see your kids in the water. But we also have a certain level so that the fish are growing. We're still catching huge bass and catfish out here.
Yeah.
But that's the argument.
Mm-hmm.
There's a mix. You got to work up for both of them. That's what we've tried to accomplish with the water testing.
I'm going to contact Chris Rohn. He's fishing club president. And I'm just going to ask him, hey, you got to get that thing in the water and get it moved.
Well, I've told him to.
Okay.
It's sitting down there. Below.
Him and I have a pretty good relationship, so I might be able to spark a fire.
Yes. Well, we just got to stop the tree.
Yeah.
But that's all I have.
Yeah.
And I'll report, or Darren and I'll tell you not to.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. We should let you go first.
No, he needs to sit here. He needs another.
This is Ed Markley, always in some shade of purple.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Again, I'm Ed Markley. I'm here to represent the QA, to ask you to request you guys to issue or grant an easement to for a power line that will run on the city's property over to Lake Wabira, or QH property over to the power, to the indoor hitting facility that's going to be on the new range. I've got a map here to show you what that is going to look like.
And that's a buried line, correct?
Yeah. It is a buried line.
Okay.
I'll tell you.
I've got one there.
Thank you.
Are you?
So we've got 247.
If you take a look at this map, what we're going to ask you for an easement is on a power pole down here just where Quivira Lane and Holiday Drive intersect, just east of there, and it's noted by a little red dot up in the top left portion of the map. From there to across the road onto Lake Wabira property, underneath the fence, underneath the burning bushes, to the Lake Wabira side, and then we'll take that on up along the cart path to a position that's just past number 7 green, and you'll see that over here, just past 7 green, as you see the last fairway, and then we'll take it straight south to the new facility. So what we're going to need to do is it'll be probably about 25 to 30 foot easement. We're going to bore or lay conduit underneath the ground there, underneath the road to that enclosure, which will be Quivira side or Lake Quivira Country Club side. Then we'll run that all the way, as I said, up the cart path and through another couple of enclosures where we have to connect the wires. But what we'll do is we'll start, if you grant the okay to do this, we'll go ahead and get the surveyors to do this and come to you with the complete description, legal description of where it's going to be and so forth, and footage and that.
Is that the first pole that's there?
There's three poles there, and it's the one with the transformer on it. So it's the one, I think it's closest to Holiday Drive. Mm-hmm. And there's quite an opening up that goes straight south where we're planning to go. Maybe there's a couple of bushes and stuff, but if we disturb any land there, we'll come back and resod it or re-sow native grass.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. You guys are burying them. We're not going to have power poles.
We looked at several options. Yeah. We looked at several options. We're coming down Quivira Lane from 78th Street.
Yeah, I was shocked when you sent me the map. I was shocked that you found this spot over here. So.
Well, it just makes it shorter. It's easier to do. We don't have to disturb any of the environment.
Yeah.
The yada, 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 so to speak. Yeah.
Well, the only thing, Ellis, when him and I talked about this, it'd be a non-exclusive utility easement with the provided legal description. And then he would also like to add some wording in there that BPU is obligated to relocate the line if it conflicts with city future use of property or other public improvement of the city.
Okay.
Meaning if we ever do develop over there and run into it.
Well, the reason we went on this route rather than go up the road was because we thought the road would be widened in some day. Mm-hmm. So all that would do is just make that be moved again. So this is really the least footage, the least intrusive place to put it.
Michelle,
okay.
Do you think of anything else? That's
good.
Okay. Council, how's everybody feel about it?
I have an unrelated question to this. When Betsy was here, she was talking about, I know there's been discussions on this before, just kind of curious, what's the cost? We were just talking about Holiday Drive and power lines. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of curious. What's the price range of?
To bury them?
Yeah.
Oh, $1 million.
I think.
When
Betsy was on council, she was looking at Holiday Drive, and I think it was at least $600,000.
Oh.
It was high six figures for sure.
Yeah.
She put together that proposal with SKW, whoever was there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that long of a run. It was only
nine,
four poles.
Yes, I think you're right.
And John had a good idea, so, you know, subject, you know, maybe starting with a poll here and then a year or two later do another poll. So yeah, that's still on the cards. But how's everybody feel about this?
Well, I'm being curious. And what do you know? What the price point of this particular
project? Absolutely.
Is that something you can share?
Not yet.
Okay.
But yeah, we've negotiated and we do have a price for it. It's 6 figures.
And of course, we're Westar, you know, so that this is BPU.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got two different companies involved.
And
so when we did the one Holiday Drive, you know, so that we could all have a lovely drive here and get off 435, and at some point you go, oh, where am I?
Yeah.
We have no poles, we have beautiful lights and all of this. And I thought it was like 800,000.
Yeah,
and
I think it was like
3 years ago.
Yeah.
Because when I had Westar come out, or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, doing one was huge.
Yeah. And that just buries it. You still have to landscape and make it look pretty. So, yeah.
Input lights.
Yeah. Okay. Is this something that we need to make a motion on tonight?
I don't think so. As long as it'll be brought back for approval at that time. So,
okay.
And just
we need to bring in the survey information.
What's our timing, though?
We'd like to do it soon. So if you don't mind, I would really like to send, when we get all that legal description done, thank you very much. I'd like to send that to you if you would send it to the council members.
Well, and I was even going to suggest doing a special meeting.
Yeah, okay. We've got a late council meeting.
We pushed our February meeting back a week, so, sooner.
Okay, I'll do it. We should have that probably the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
We've kind of got behind because BPU kind of went dead for Thanksgiving to Christmas time. And now we're finally.
I'll email you the exact wording.
Would you please?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so you want, I'm jumping in here only because I just did 6 easements for Duck Cove. So we'll prepare the legal document. I mean, we get Chad, Olson Engineering, will do the surveying probably within a week. I can get it done for you.
Ellis said
we'll prepare the whole legal document and everything.
That's what Ellis said. Whoever's requesting it needs to provide that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll just review it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then if BPU's involved with that, they've got to sign off on that, right?
No, I don't think so. It's between the landowner and.
Well,
but that's why we guess we're granting an easement.
They're going to have to sign off on something because Ellis, you know, did say BPU needs to be obligated.
They are because of what he wants.
Yeah, let me have that. I'll work with BPU on
that.
You have it all drawn up and you give it to BPU and they approve it?
Well, this is a little different. When we did it, I had to have the homeowners sign off on it. What Olson prepared for us was the legal document. Actually, they did the legal document. They surveyed and they had an actual drawing of it, and that's what everybody had to sign off on.
Here, we can get that. Dude.
I'll get with Chad.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate it. Hi, Therese.
Hi.
What are you up to?
I'm listening.
That's it?
Nothing.
No good job, guys. Keep it up. All right. Okay, we need to, we're only on 2 minutes.
Let's call it order.
All right. We need to consider approval of minutes from our meeting on December 2nd, 2019. Did everybody have a chance to review those? Any discussion? Any changes?
Motion to approve minutes?
I got a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Who did the second?
Who's second? Dave's second.
Dave.
All right. Any discussion? Any opposed? Okay. Motion passes. Approval of minutes passes. Sorry. Treasurer's report, Aaron Leakey.
Okay. For our month, we ended 20% below or above budget for revenue. Or I'm sorry. That should say below. Yes, 20% below budget for revenue for the month and then brought us to 0.2% below budget for the year. A lot of that can be explained by court fines, which the previous council in the budget that's coming up starting now lowered the court fine number since that's kind of what we're seeing in the trends. So that number should not be as big. We also saw quite a large deficit in our tax revenue, which most likely means that we'll just be receiving more in delinquent payments in 2020. So kind of the trend to look for next year. For expenses, if you include reserve funds, which we do for state purposes, we're 88% below budget for the month, 41% below budget for the year. If you don't include those, we ended at 23.8% below budget for the month and 3.9% below budget for the year. So the reserve funds are any of the funds that are 5.7 or 5.6 or 5.7 on the profit and loss statement. Those are the accounts that if we don't spend the money that's in them, the money will carry over to the following year with new budget money coming into it. All of the other accounts in our budget system, if we don't spend it, we lose it, we get whatever is in the new budget. So starting this next month, you'll be looking at the 2020 budget. So it'll have new numbers for most of the accounts. The only ones that'll be carryovers are the 5.6 and the 5.7s, if that makes sense. And then finally on that document, we have our 13th payroll. The balance sheet is attached. Nothing really to note on that, neither on profit or loss, but the last page of profit or loss is where you can see those 5.6 and 5.7 accounts. So if you're looking at this one, they're just those ones right there. On check detail, the only things I was going to point out that were kind of out of the ordinary, we have our main bill, the VF Anderson, that was our Duck Cove payment number one, which then if you look at deposit detail, you'll see a check from Johnson County paying us the percentage back for that and the check for Q-Inc paying the rest of the percentage for it. Some other ones to note, we paid Olson Associates about $3,000 for some stormwater work that they had helped us out with throughout the year with ordinances and making sure that we're doing everything we needed to do for that.
Are they under contract? Did they contract with us?
Yes.
Okay.
To do the ordinances, I think it was either three or four that was required throughout the course of, I think, 4 years, if I remember correctly.
We need to look up into that because
we
might be using them a little bit more.
Sorry. Yes. No, you're good. And then on page four, we paid the electric tech for the camera systems that were installed. The large Olson at the bottom of that page was also Duck Cove that's been paid back. And that was where the only ones that kind of stuck out to me. On deposits, we kind of already went over the big ones from Johnson County and from Q-Inc. The rest of them are pretty standard. We had three journal entries, all related to closing out building permits. And then the credit card detail is attached as well.
How long does it typically take? I know you just requested reimbursement.
Yes.
How long does that take?
So the first one, it took quite a while.
That's what I remember.
And then this was our third request. What he's referring to, I requested today our third set of reimbursement for the Duck Cove project from the county. On our first request, I submitted a good 2 months plus.
Yeah, okay.
Of us calling him, trying to find out, the guy at Johns County trying to find out where it is, finally coming in the mail. So then our second pay request was made at the beginning of December. And since we're cash basis, we have to close everything out December 31st. The county is not. They have a different fiscal year. So once I told him that we submitted at the beginning of December, I asked him if we could be reimbursed quicker than the last one. We had it within a week. So that's our two experiences so far. So if that gives you no knowledge whatsoever.
Well, the one that's submitted today is for $337,000. The city is only out $157,000 at this point. If for some reason you do not receive the reimbursement at the end of the month, the reimbursement agreement requires Q-Inc to pay that $157 to get you whole by the end of the month, one way or another. So, and that's why Aaron and I are last one, this one. I mean,
yep.
We didn't do it earlier because no one was in the office last week. They got it today.
Yep.
Gotcha.
I mean, she sent it over this afternoon. But that's how we've been doing on these last, on these big ones.
Yeah.
So I requested, since we're a smaller municipality with not a gigantic monthly budget, if they could pay back within by the end of the month.
Yeah.
That we would appreciate.
Yeah, stay on the good side.
Yeah, trying to be nice.
Anybody have any questions on the treasurer's report for Aaron?
Is the Shredded USA, is that for the shredding day?
That was the shredding day, yep.
And was there two, in, was there two check cut to them?
No, there was just one.
Just one, okay.
Yep. Just one for Shredded.
Okay. There are two different entries, though, for the same amount.
Oh, okay,
six,
so maybe that's what I thought. I didn't have any.
6.95 times 2.
Oh, just in two different categories.
Okay.
Yes. We have not budgeted for that, so we kind of, but we had room in the budget to take it out of a couple of different places. So, yep, that's where that comes from.
I think that's money well spent.
You'll see that a couple of times.
Okay. Yeah. Any other questions? Okay. We do have to approve this treasurer's report, so I'd entertain a motion again.
I move to approve the January treasurer's report.
I'll second.
Got a second. Any discussion? Any opposed? All right, motion passes.
Hey, before you move on, sorry, new lease.
Yes, $2 bills.
Oh.
Another bookmark. Thank you.
Thanks.
Well
nice,
done.
Nice and crispy, like always.
Do we? We need to initial the.
Yeah, we need to initial the treasurer's report. Okay, Bill Cole, not here, John, Smack, Opti.
That's what their salaries.
Mm-hmm.
Next January.
I'm like,
we are under the impression it's done monthly.
20 cents.
I'll give you a dime.
Couple things going on there. Duck codes, everybody's aware. Everyone's tired of it. They're ready for it to be done. We lost about 2 weeks last month just due to things. You know, Westar, Evergy put a power pole right through a homeowner's sewer line when they put it in. So we had to deal with that. Water lines aren't where they're supposed to be. We put two lines that are run straight. Well, it doesn't. It had a 3-foot bow in it. So we had to literally remove stormwater pipe, switch that. Right now, we should have most of the main pipe systems run possibly by the end of this week. Knock on wood, barring any foreseen. We're hoping to have a lot of it wrapped up by the end of the month and starting to put things back together, the curbing and that type of thing. So towards the end of this month, it's going to really clean up kind of around where the box culvert is. The final finishing up really won't happen until March when we get grass and that type of thing in. Then in the spring, we'll be looking to resurface the road and carry it all the way down Navajo to the other end. And that was the money that we had budgeted or y'all's homeowners. So we're moving along. I forget, Darren, the total we've got spent on right now is just over $600,000.
Yep.
That's what we have into the contract. The contract now is $1,043,000 is what the proposal grant is, with the additional $225,000 that we were awarded on the 19th of December. Bill Cole and I, well, Aaron and I were at the Board of County Commissioners the day before, made a presentation to them, and then Bill and I were at the SMAC, and they did approve it unanimously for the additional. So that's moving along. The Opti project, the main components, the operating system, solar panel was all delivered last week, Thursday, sitting in front of the fire truck on a pallet. We're waiting right now for the tube to be delivered. This is where it drops into the ground, the valving system, that should be delivered hopefully within the next 2 weeks, say by the end of the month. Bill is working now on assisting them to see, it's a $10,000 install, so we're looking now at what contractors we could use. We're even thinking about talking to VF Anderson while they've got their equipment out here. They can just run over there and dig this hole quick and drop the tube in. Otherwise, we'd be looking at Ricky Brothers or whatever. Because of the size, I don't think he was planning on bidding it, which I don't think y'all require. It's a $10,000 installation. We have another conference call this Thursday.
Mike, I forget his last name, to go over the final schedule and all that. So I would say within the next couple months, it should be in. It'll be a pretty quick install.
Yeah.
And if everybody, I don't know if y'all are aware of, this is the silt pond down by the equestrian center. There's an old valve system there. If you look down in the weeds, got a big bitch twist, and then that whole system is being replaced. And then we can remotely lower the silt pond based on the weather conditions. Not much new on the SMAC side. I was at the meeting with Bill. They're shifting over to more stormwater projects this year and flooding issues. We have met with CDM where they're basically plotting every culvert, everything that flows into the lake, because it is the lower end of major, three major watersheds. That process is going to be ongoing. The funding was switched to 50-50 versus the 25-75, like the two projects that we currently have, the Opti and the Ducko. But Bill's staying on top of all that.
Yeah.
I think that's the main thing. There's a lot of little things he's doing. Oh, Bill Sutton was out. As far as I know, Aaron, the lake level indicator should be operational now. We haven't done our test with them.
We haven't done the test.
But I thought Bill was out. There was a problem in the somewhere in the hardware or something that they supposedly got corrected.
He ended up coming out twice.
Right.
Yeah.
But Bill will work on that. We'll have it up and running before we lower or raise the lake, which will be early March. So that's all.
Okay.
I'm sure he'd have a lot of other things to talk about.
Yeah, I just like seeing him stand up and, you know, move his hands around.
He gets more excited.
Yeah, he does. He is so excited.
It's too much moving. He hurt himself.
He was like this.
Well, thanks, John. Thanks for everything you do. And I know you're a little busy right now, so appreciate it.
No one's more ready for Ducko to be finished than John.
Yeah, I can imagine. Okay, any questions for John, anybody? Nope? Okay. On to police chief's report.
Everybody received the report. 9 citations, 7 warnings, 735 residential patrols, 212 property checks. And if anybody had any questions on any of the details, reports, or any other questions, that's all I've got on the police side.
I do. I want to thank you for sending, I don't know if you sent them, but Shannon Torino to the Polar Bear Plunge. I thought, you know, anytime we do an event like that, I think it's always neat to have some sort of presence from City Hall down there. So,
agree.
Tell him thank you.
Did he
plunge?
No.
He did not plunge.
He kind of sank with all this stuff on.
There's no plunging.
He was plunged. Great.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, that was good.
I was plunging in steamboat.
There you go. In a hot spring.
The days were warm after that.
The only other thing pending was the front door that is finalized and ordered. I haven't got any details on when they will be in to start installation or anything like that.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Thank you, Fred. I don't think we're doing a city clerk's report, right, Kathy?
Nope.
Okay. City Attorney's Report. Michelle, what do you got for us?
Nothing to pass on from Ellis. Actually, it sounds like he's passed several things on to you, so.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, he has done that. Awfully nice of him. Okay. Just wanted to check. You might be already ahead of or on top of this, Gail, but the Christmas lights on City Hall. We can just get around them anytime.
They come down when the canopy. So Canopy does the clubhouse, and so it'll all come down at the same time.
Okay.
And they start.
But you can
correct,
unplug
yeah.
them. They can be unplugged.
No, I think they're fine for now. I just
I mean,
whenever
they
get
store
to
them, correct?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
They store them. Well, this is actually the first year they've done City Hall, but they
That's
store all of the other ones that they do.
Perfect.
And normally, I mean, I think most the lights get dimmer and dimmer around the lake, you know. But I think. The traditional thing is to keep the lights on through the plaza lighting, you know, and I'm assuming that, let's see, what's the date this weekend? I mean, this may be their last weekend, maybe Saturday night.
Couldn't
tell you.
Yeah, but normally, so, you know, so it's, I was happy because I knew our lights were coming on while we were gone, you know, and then, but everybody still seems to have them on.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with it. I just
once
wanted to remind
you. Once we pass this weekend, it starts getting a little busy.
My daughter actually said we should leave them up all year. And I said, yeah. It's kind of tacky. The other thing I had was I didn't know Ed was going to be here to talk about that buried power line, so I was going to talk about that. Just a update on the mobile app that went out on Q News. It's been on Facebook, on some blasts and stuff like that. We're going to do a black box flyer, I think.
I like your app. It reminds me to take my trash out on the right day.
Oh, thank you. So I appreciate that. So far, we've got about 90 that have signed up through Apple iOS and 21 through Android, which, you know, not a great number, but hopefully that'll continue to grow. So, stocking cap sales, we made $300 so far on those. Part of this is also City Clerk's report. She said 4 people come in already and register their dogs, so she's getting a jump on that, so we don't have to worry about tracking those late dog owners down. Annual calendar. Did they get a copy of that annual calendar?
2 of them were former mayors.
Yeah, two of the former mayors were today. Did they get a copy of the annual calendar, the council?
No, okay. I can send that to them.
Yeah, Kathy will send it to you, but for example, we've got, we do a Fred Braun cleanup day, and we usually coincide it with large item trash pickup.
And Earth Day.
And Earth Day, yep.
Earth Day is like on a Thursday, so is it the Saturday after?
It'll be the it's April 22nd Earth Day. I think it's a Wednesday.
Okay, I knew it was during
the day. Assuming it would be, but we're going to talk about that. Or are we talking about it?
No, we're talking about the annual calendar. So, for example, we're going to do a Police Appreciation Day. We do that every 2 years, correct? Mm-hmm. And that's typically in September, 4th of July, stuff like that. So you guys will get that calendar just to kind of see what we have going on. I don't know if the Shred It event is probably not on there yet. I think it's probably on there as planned for November or whenever it is. But
I think this was our first year to do it, and the fact that it went over so well and everybody liked it, we will add it for future events. Well, I just wondered, since this was the first year, if, because, we had 2 heavy trash pickup days or large item, and so Fred Braun Day is that, and I didn't know if we were going to be entertaining doing 2 or not.
I don't think we got the volume to to, would be my guess, but we also didn't publicize it
until
as much as we might or could have, so we might get a different result.
But well, also, the truck came through ahead of time. WPU's trucks came through first.
I don't want to talk about that. We're talking about
Shredding.
That worked out.
Okay, and then you guys all should have a packet titled Holiday Drive Storm Drainage Preliminary Engineering Study. This came from Chad Olson. Chad Olson of Olson Associates. Chad Johnson, sorry, from Olson Engineering. Basically, Bruce Rimbo had this project before his term was up. And it is addressing the issue of the water that comes down basically from, you call it the Gulf maintenance area, that whole hillside, but the water's coming from everywhere. And it's coming down on the Holiday, and you can see it, especially in spring, summertime, that water just sits there, it's stagnant, they can't mow it, we got cattails growing, mosquitoes, it's just a mess. And so Bruce had him go out and do a study on it, and he is going to come to our February 8th or 10th meeting to answer any questions. So for now, I want you guys just to take this home and read it. He's also put some bids in on a couple different options. As you can see, there's calculations on how he figured all this stuff. If you want to read that, great. If not. But the gist of it is, what we've got down there right now is just not sufficient for the water that's coming. We need to get it underneath Holiday Drive, push down further Holiday Drive, a combination of both, but just essentially a bigger culvert, whatever you want to call it.
So I think this is something that we probably budgeted for a little bit, no?
We talked about it in the reserve funds, but didn't actually make an account for it.
So well, because we don't know what.
Right.
We never reached agreement
on
what.
Who is doing what portion.
Where does it become ours versus
QWINC's? Right. Yeah, and we'll get into that. And either way, I think it's something that we need to look at. Because I think you've seen that area. There's, you know, it's bad. It's really bad. So take a look at that. And then at the next meeting, Chad will be here to kind of present and answer any questions that you guys have.
And is QWINC aware of this as well? Okay, yeah. It's on their agenda too. Okay.
But that
QWINC money budgeted for 2 years to do our report.
And QWINC, you guys have already done some stuff up there to oh, you have not? Okay.
Nothing.
I thought there was a water catching system that you guys.
That has nothing to do with this. Okay. If that's where they clean their equipment, that's another issue.
So okay, gotcha.
No, we have not done anything.
Okay.
What would be done up top to mitigate?
It's a combination of curbs and some other things, controlling how it comes down, then placing riprap, kind of move the water more towards this culvert, but I haven't time to look through his report.
Brady, did he include any of the QWINC site in his report, or is it just what the city would do?
Well, there's one page that kind of shows, and you can't really see the way it's printed out. I can email this to Kathy, and Kathy can email it.
Can John have a copy?
Yeah, that's fine. And if you want to email a copy too, it's easier to see it on the email copy. But I mean, it's coming all the way down from, you know, the dam, basically the hill on the dam. And it's taking a considerable amount of water from that area, from the community center, from the driving range, from the QWINC building maintenance, all that stuff. So
this is free flowing down that hill and bringing everything with it. Is that kind of the issue?
Yeah.
Now, once it gets down there, everything's inadequate to shuffle it off.
Yeah.
Right. And also, one of the things Betsy's been advocating for the beautification of Holiday Drive, which I think is fantastic, but I think, is it fair to say, Brady and Gail, that the posture of the old council was until we fix this,
right.
There's no sense in
right.
Planting a bunch of hostas that are going to end up in the car.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? So.
There's one page, if you can find it. It just says figure 4, collection improvement. And you can kind of see where the water is, where he's got the water coming from. So essentially just right outside the gate here is kind of where it starts, where that first culvert is. So read over it, and this is going to be a project that we're going to have to address at some point with QWINC, and I might have Greg work on that, or John. I know you've got a little interest in Holiday. Gail does too. So read on it, and have any questions ready for Chad when he comes February. Okay. That's all I have. And Dave, are you going to talk about the train whistle?
I can give it quick.
Okay. All right, so I'll scratch that off, and we'll go to council reports, and we'll start with Dave.
Train whistles. Brady received an email from my new neighbors, the Lupos, and their house sits up fairly vertically, and they hear the train whistles quite a bit. And so it's, they had a question about it, and I brought this as a private citizen to the council a couple of years ago and did some legwork on it. I never got past I never got an audience with the appropriate person at Unified Government, just because I was just some dude from Lake Wakira.
Yeah.
Right on cue.
Yeah.
But the whistle's not there.
So there are rules for the Federal Railway Administration where the sequence of the whistles is a certain, it's two long, one short, one long. And we have, of course, the crossing that's down past Waste Management. And then there are two here that are 78th and 74th Street, right by Paramount is one. And then there's one a little bit further down by the Morris Township. And basically everything to the north of those is industrial. So the people who work there never hear the whistles at night. So one option is to do a temporary quiet zone, partial quiet zone, which would mean from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. there would be no train whistles. And that involves expense. And so it's a question of who would pay for that. So Brady offered to help you know, try to get in with the unified government engineer to see about, you know, whose jurisdiction that is, if there's any support for either completely shutting down one of the crossings or putting in a partial quiet zone, which would entail a median or do both side gates. Neither of those options are free, so it would be a question of who would pay for it, but that would at least get us a nighttime quiet space around here with the train whistles. It's, you know, I personally like the sound of the trains, and the whistles don't bother me, but everybody's different. It bothers my wife. She hears them all the time. I can sleep through anything. So we've taken that on as a to-do. You know, I follow up with the Lupos to tell them, you know, that's something we could certainly do some more investigation on.
And where do they, what new house are they in? Where are they?
Atwell's old house.
My grandparents.
Oh, yeah. Oh, over there.
Yeah, and we've looked into it before. Aaron had some insight, and we didn't get very far either. And you know, we're going to give it a shot, fingers crossed, but you know, we'll see what happens. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you looking into it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
What else you got?
Cities, I'm going to jump
on. Oh, yeah.
One of the cities I've been involved with, they put those quiet zones in, and those medians with the double gates is around 400,000.
I knew it was
for intersection.
Yeah, I knew it was very cost prohibitive. It's one of the reasons it's still noisy. But yeah, that's good information to have. It's just kind of ballpark. What are we looking at?
And the citizens of Morris don't they don't care.
I don't even know how to get a hold of them. I go door to door with an engineer's hat on. I don't know if anybody has any other questions on the trains, but I've got.
No, thank you for looking into that.
Okay, and then on the gas station, I talked to Terry Presta and looked into the lease based on last month's meeting, and you know, our lease agreement stipulates a 3% increase every year, so we're going to have another $120 for 2020 that we'll have in the coffers. But there are some options that I'm looking into as far as you know, bidding and things like that we can look into in a future session. A couple things with the pumps we have are set up. There's a new ordinance that comes into play. The implementation date keeps getting moved back. It's called an EMV chip reader. It's a fraud reduction type of credit card system. And the current date is October of 2020. The good thing is our current pumps are equipped for that. It would be a software update to allow for that. And so since we own the pumps, we're not on the hook to have to buy new pumps. So that's a positive thing. But we can, again, as far as options go on revenue streams and things like that or possible bids with the lease, we can talk about that in a future session.
Dave found some. You know, he's got a buddy that's in that field, and Dave and I were talking. We thought margins on gasoline itself is, you know, pretty slim, and from what he's come up with, it looks like something that you know, the city can explore, or you know, outside people could explore. So we're looking into that too, and should have something to come February.
Yeah. I don't know if this has been discussed, but having an ethanol free. Pump for marine. I don't know. I know nothing about that. So I don't know if that involves a whole new tank, but or anything like that. But it sure would be nice to not have to load the tank up and hit that IV to get ethanol free gas.
Yeah.
For what we're paying to drive there, we could pay a little premium. I could drive my golf cart out there.
Has Terry ever mentioned that?
I brought it up with him. He said it's possible. So we have the three grades.
Right.
And so there are two different types of fuel in two different tanks, and it's just a mixture for the blend, for the mid-grade. So you have the premium, and then you have the regular, and then they just mix them together to get the mid-grade. So if we went to an ethanol-free, we would fill up the smaller tank with ethanol-free gas, and then the amount of ethanol in the medium grade, instead of a 10% ethanol, would be about a 5% ethanol. But I think it's certainly possible. And I'm an audience of one, but I don't like ethanol gas in my car even. So I always buy a Hy-Vee. That's one reason I don't buy gas here is because of the ethanol. But I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to that.
So, yeah.
So it would affect the people who put premium in their car. Customers that premium their car will be affected by it.
5%, right? Is
that what you're saying? Well, the mid grade would be 5% ethanol. If we had an ethanol free option,
Okay.
The that would be the high grade, basically. And then the mid grade would be a combination of the 10% ethanol and the ethanol free is what it would be. Because we have basically two types of gas we can store. One's in an 8,000 gallon tank and one's in a 4,000 gallon tank. So
what did you say? So is there today, I use the mid. Level, and so is there ethanol there?
That's so all, everything that's in the ground is 10% ethanol.
Okay, so what's the difference?
So if we went to an ethanol-free, we would take one of the tanks and just put zero ethanol fuel in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you bought ethanol-free, that's what you would come right from that tank right into your car. If you bought the low-grade, it would just come from the other tank, which is whatever octane level, 10% ethanol, it would come right out of the ground into your car.
Mm-hmm.
If you bought the mid-grade, you would get half from tank A and half from tank B,
okay,
which would be a mid-range of octane and a half and half of no ethanol and 10% ethanol.
So it'd be a better mix than we have today.
Yeah, in theory. I wouldn't use it, but, you know, it would be, I would only use the ethanol-free, but...
But the ethanol free would be the premium. The mid grade might go up a little bit in price because you're
exactly
5% ethanol instead of 10, and then the low grade is the same.
Yeah, the low grade would be the same. Yeah. For people who buy premium gas with ethanol, they would now be buying premium gas without ethanol, and it would be a little more expensive. So,
yeah.
So, but we're set up to be able to do that, and I personally would like to see ethanol free, and I think since we are a marine community here, we are in Lake Quivira, you're not supposed to use ethanol gas. And people who want to use ethanol gas in their boats and golf carts could still have that option. So, I'm all for it.
I've had several people ask me about it. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to make the decision just based on my preferences, but it certainly seems like the ethanol trend has kind of settled down and people realize there are advantages to having ethanol free.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you.
Sure.
And keep working on that, and we'll have more info on February.
Absolutely.
Greg Freed.
So, last meeting, we look into Holiday Drive to dip in the road over there.
Yep.
Chad Johnson, I got his contact information, our engineer. He sent me some information on it. I did talk to a street contractor that was kind of familiar with this and mentioned that KCK had done a patch before and did a subpar jar patching it. So Chad came out and did this drawing with some labels on it, stabilizing that hillside with 2,000 cubic yards of fill, remove and replace the asphalt as well as the guardrail. He mentioned he thought, I don't know if you can tell in that picture, kind of in the middle, the bottom middle, you kind of see that driveway coming down.
Mm-hmm.
We thought maybe some of that storm water coming down could have caused some of that.
Did he say that he thinks it's better now that it's paved or worse now that it's paved? Because it's been gravel for years. So I have a feeling it's probably getting a lot of water.
He mentioned when he came out here and walked around it, he thought that paved hill is creating more of more water running straight down at it. That's good. The engineer said so.
Yeah.
And then he gave some, I think he gave some price options. That's why I did this like 3 weeks ago. And it was around $130,000. I just asked him for kind of a ballpark number. I didn't give him my $2 because I'm a rookie here, so I'm not quite sure how deep I want to go into burning engineer's time.
I thought at one point we talked, he was thinking it could be anywhere from 50 to 100. Did he come back with a number after that?
I remember I thought it was 130. I know it's in my email.
Okay.
Pictures, but that's kind of the range I just asked him to kind of give me like a couple different options. So that's kind of a little update there.
And that includes your replacing the guardrail? I can't remember what it said. Or did you not?
Correct. That was part of it.
Okay. Well, this was something that you know, Ben had brought up before the new council. You guys know what area we're talking about?
And I hear Gail about it.
Well, I think I do, but maybe...
If you're heading down Holiday Drive, like you're going to 435,
right,
you go past Renner Road,
mm-hmm,
and then you've got that driveway that goes up the hill.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There's a dip in
there.
There's a dip in the westbound lane,
mm-hmm,
and it's pretty significant. Yeah. And it dips like this, the guardrail's starting to fall down. And a lot of people, we all admitted it, if there's no traffic coming in the eastbound lane, we will intentionally drive into that eastbound lane just because it's so rough right there.
And so at what point, because, you know, I know we talked about it a couple times, and
yeah.
So when I drove by there, I thought, well, is that really in Lake Quivira? You know, because you look at where the
yeah.
because I know the city limit signs are supposed to be very accurate as far as where they are, because, you know, you required that from a police standpoint. And it just looked to me, because would that then mean that the driveway, which is actually the Treese's driveway, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I never thought that their house, although they advertise it like it's in Lake Quivira, but I always thought that wasn't Lake Quivira. And I thought, well, surely it must be another dip, because it just looked like it wasn't Lake Quivira. But, I mean, is it Lake Quivira?
Yes.
It is?
Yes.
Right.
That city limit sign is in the wrong place and it's been the wrong
place. Oh, it's
place.
In the wrong place.
And I didn't know that until I started doing my homework on that.
Oh, okay.
As well as the boundaries on the Treese homes. One home is in Lake Quivira, one home is not.
Okay.
But actually, most of one home is in Lake Quivira. Part of it is not. So.
Because he works for Kent, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and I happened to notice, you know, we got a Christmas card and it happened to say Lake Quivira, and I thought, wow, I didn't know that was Lake Quivira. And I thought, well, maybe they were just, like,
trusting.
Yeah, I think that was the same question that Chad brought up and Greg had, was, is this
mm-hmm.
our responsibility? And
so
yeah, we confirmed that it was. So
I sent that to Kathy and Fred, and Fred pulled up the map here about kind of where the locations are.
And that's my determination was from Wyandotte County GIS mapping. So that's where they've got the city limits.
So how was Ben able to get?
I didn't do any investigation, and I assumed that they said, hey, this is in your city based on the sign, and they went out there and said, yep, that's ours based on the sign. So they patched it. That's my
try that.
He was friends with my dad, county commissioner.
Can we just send them the bid and say, hey, we need this fixed again. Here's the tip. See what they say. Just kidding, Michelle.
You be deported.
I pull my email from Chad. It says the concept construction opinion of probable cost is $130,000. Design 20% construction is $26,000.
The only thing I can maybe add is if somehow we have some contacts with Wyandotte County, because in my opinion, the failure is outside of our jurisdiction, and we would have to do work outside of our jurisdiction to beef up that slope of the wall.
Right.
So I don't know the exact measurements, but from the roadway, we only own a few feet. And then from that way down the hill, where everything I'm sure is whatever, landslide, mudslide, going away. I don't know if there's some sort of joint monies that we can use with unified government, but I think it's worth checking into.
Yeah, how much? Yeah, 2,000 cubic yards of fill on that side. That's really the only other improvement besides, yeah. So we might be able to get the help on that. It's worth a shot.
I have a contact with
it's
KCK's, I forget the exact title, but it's like a executive director of public works.
Yeah.
That'd be perfect.
I'll see if we can figure something out here.
Okay.
Let me know. If you set up a meeting, I'll go with you.
What does our budget work on these? Do we have like a...
Would just come out of we have $25,000 that we have budgeted for the road fund every year of money that we usually go through, and then the rest of it just comes out of reserves. But before we can use reserves, then the council has to
vote and designate that for that particular
And then we have no money for, well, so then all the potholes and everything would
that's the problem.
Would become problematic a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't get anywhere with unified government, would it be more cost effective to put a Band-Aid on it and then budget for 2 years, 3 years out for a real fix?
For an actual
did Chad mention if there was a, you know, a Band-Aid way to fix it? Or
I can ask him for other options. Lesser.
They patched that, what, 2 to 3 years ago?
Probably.
And when they patched it, it wasn't so bad. But over the abuse of the commercial vehicles, we all see where it's got us now. So
a lot of it was the new railway bridge, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, that guardrail is still going to be very, very low. But.
So I think another patch job might get us the 2 years to where we have a budget accordingly, too, if we want to explore
that. Yeah, I mean, I was originally kind of hoping, you know, 50,000 or so. Then
that's a lot easier to...
Yeah. Especially with this other project that Chad Johnson looked at. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, look into that and let us know what we can do. Okay. Thank you very much. Anything else? Annie?
A couple things. I've just started one of my areas of responsibility is the performance reviews and just city employees. So I've started with Kathy and I'm just kind of interviewing, and I'm going to work with Aaron and Fred too, just to kind of understand their positions, make sure they've got updated position descriptions, and then just kind of take a look at the performance evaluation process and just make it more systematic, have an annual pretty comprehensive one, and then do more development and, you know, maybe a quarterly, maybe three times a year. The idea is to just get people together and have the discussion and make sure that, you know, we hear what's going on with you guys. My opinion is the employees own the performance process as much as we own it, and so I really think it's more of a sharing of you know, what, making sure they're meeting the expectations of the job, but then also what are some development areas and how can we sort of help expand the position, or, you know, I know you guys have picked up a lot of the stuff when we didn't have Kathy, so I really want to make sure that we've kind of, you know, pull things back in if we need to, or keep them the way they are. I mean, that was one of the purposes of getting with you guys, is to kind of hear you out and what you're thinking. So
I appreciate you doing that, and I love your ideas, because I told Annie we've really been lacking as far as, you know, having these employee evaluations. So I like the way you're going about it, and however you feel is best to organize it and streamline it.
So I'll keep working on that. I'm going to try and meet with you guys this week if I can get off work for that. And then Kathy and I had some other discussions just in general about some things that just like listening to her talk about how, you know, the city, she is a face sometimes for the external community on what's going on at QME, or, you know, they're asking questions. And so how can we help sort of, number one, bridge that and make sure they get to the right person, which they're doing now, but is there something else we can do? And then also the other piece of that was just expanding Kathy's world a little bit, too, just so that she understands and can field questions better and just be a better, just, you know, I mean, we all can do our job better if we know what's going on both sides of the. So I want to make sure that there's not legal stuff, but at the same time, I think it's just about expanding the knowledge. And the other thing we talked about, too, was my ignorance with city versus QME. I don't think it's just limited to me. And so we would like to maybe publish some things that just kind of explain it and could be something that as new people are buying homes in Quivira, they understand what the city is versus what that, just to kind of get them in the groove. They may not read it, but it's stuff that we can put out on the website. It's just one more thing to get people sort of understanding what the differences are that they don't understand.
So, love that idea.
Anyway, so we'll work on that. That's another thing we're working on. And then, I have started talking about what we can do with this space. So, like Betsy was, I've been talking to Betsy a little bit, so I do like the idea of kind of pulling a committee together. So
yeah, I do too.
I'll start getting on that. But that's not I mean, I'd like to get these other things in first.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, we still have the fire truck in there. And, yeah.
Yep. So that's where I'm looking at.
We're good. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. John, Christy?
Three things. Item number one, we got the fireworks contract. The vendor provides 10% more material if we pay it in full by January. So Aaron and I are working at getting that done so that the contract is signed and funded. So we get the extra
bang for our buck.
No, pun not intended. So anyway, so that's at the February meeting should have confirmation that that's all taken care of. We're going to use the same entity that we've used the last handful of years that seems to have worked well with one minor exception, but that's been resolved. That's the kind of the fireworks report. One thing that I want to resurrect to the existing council that was discussed with the previous council and died on the vine to a degree was coming up with a city donation policy. We were approached and have been approached by multiple different entities. As a city, would you make a contribution to this entity? And there was some lively discussion, healthy discussion about whether or not it is an elected official's position to redirect tax dollars to a private entity. And there were some differing opinions on the old council when this all kind of came about in last fall, specifically because one of the entities that came to us for funding, a pretty nominal amount of funding, I think it was $500 or something. $200.
$250.
Is an entity that basically fills in gaps at the county level for different types of services, and they were quick to point out that Lake Quivira residents have used their services, and where that ultimately ended up landing is. The discussion as to, some people felt we shouldn't do it whatsoever. Some people thought that if it was something that could potentially benefit residents, we should. It had nothing to do with the dollar amount and everything to do with the the message that it sent. And so anyway, I put together a pulling from multiple different cities, a donations policy. And I didn't want to send it out prior to the meeting without giving everyone that context. But in addition to the third item I'm going to bring up, I will forward everyone this proposed Lake Quivira donations policy that you can review, and then we can talk about it at a future meeting.
I'll take that back.
I know... Can't put too much color in the email outside of the document itself, but this stemmed from Fairway and DeSoto and Mission Hills, I believe, were the three entities that had published.
Was it Mission? Oh, you mean that had published the donation, or the ones that had not participated in this one?
Oh, yeah. So this one particular entity that asked for funding, Lake Quivira was one of two or three cities that made no contribution, and the other two cities were Mission Hills and Westwood Hills. So not necessarily the most ideal precedent when you talk about a fluency. I'm undecided on the topic personally. I see both sides, and I think, as a council, we can hopefully get to a spot where we either say our policy is we're not doing this ever, don't waste your time coming to our meetings, or here's our policy. After you've read our policy, if you still want to come to a meeting and ask for money, do so, or, you know, wherever it ends up landing. But expect that in your inbox in the next week or two. Any, Gail or Brady, that you were here, or I guess Aaron, for those prior discussions, any, did I miss anything? Anything else you want to add?
No, I don't think so.
I think that was good.
You know, like you said, prior council, it's always just been a flat-out no. It seems like we're getting more and more requests, and so John took the time to write this up. So, yeah, definitely read it over. Kathy, do you have a copy of it? You can, okay, so you can send it to Kathy, and she can send it out.
And the thing that made that one different, which is why we invited them back even again, right? Or maybe they just came again, was that they really aren't, I mean, they represent the county, Johnson County. They're not their own little, you know, company over here that's trying to raise money for something, because they serve the county. You know, of course, so I, you know, it just felt like, why wouldn't we do this? But then the flip side was that for others, you know, for others that necessarily is that we do a lot of, you know, the raising the money, the salvation, mm-hmm. you know, and all the things that, I mean, all the things that we do as a community, we raise a lot of money, but yet, you know, it's felt that we give already. But this over here was sort of different.
What was the charity? What was the entity?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah, I don't
know. But they have, I mean, people, I mean, communities, you know, like if you were being if you were a female being abused, and I mean, just all kinds of things, and the fact that they actually then they spend the money and come into our community and help our people.
Right, right.
So that's the thing that was kind of.
Is it in the?
Well, it'd be in the minutes somewhere.
July or August meeting.
Yeah, I can put that in the email that I send to Kathy with this document attached to it.
Curious to know what that.
But yeah, it was different than say a 501c3 that had specific religious or artistic or whatever overtones. That this was a community related, and where, you know, the reason I took that on was because I said I'm not comfortable.
John, sorry, United Community Services, UCS is who they are. Julie Brewer is their executive director. She's the one who came to our meeting. The one that they were asking for a donation for is called their Human Service Fund. And they have a committee of a lot of different business owners and city and county representatives that get together to pick who the Human Service Fund goes towards, what their funds go towards. One of them was the Johnson County Health Clinic, the first responder program that they have a mental health professional writing in with first responders was one that they have contributed to in the past. There's a list.
There's several elderly programs that they support.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a big part of Johnson County.
Yes.
And I ran across when I did the Johnson County Citizens Academy.
Yep.
They did a lot of the programs to help set them up and establish.
Yeah, so without doubt, this entity had tangible benefit to the city and its residents. So we just need to decide whether.
They're an organization that is primarily funded through the county to go out and find where the county is missing.
They need
pieces of population.
Well, you know, wasn't there an issue with Lake Revere being Johnson and Wyandotte County, even though it's only 11 homes?
Yes, but they also, this fund, because that was one of the questions mm-hmm. we asked in the first month, and then they were able to do the research and come back and say that.
Okay, I missed one of those meetings.
They also do things with Wyandotte County as well.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right, so that's item two. This, I think I'm setting the record here for my report. Number three is that I've been reading about several Johnson County cities passing what are often referred to as non-discriminatory ordinances, typically abbreviated as an NDO. And primarily what they're designed to do is protect the non-federally protected classes, which is by and large the LGBT community. And anyway, I did a little homework on it, met with a couple of people, Corey Childs and Courtney Perry, who have been pretty involved in other cities, including Shawnee, at helping advocate for their NDO. I thought it was going to be something as simple as, hey, here's an NDO, bring it to a meeting. This is something people want to do. Yep. And they brought up a whole slew of issues that I never saw coming. I know Ellis was involved with the Shawnee one. Michelle, I don't know, if feel free to opine at any point.
Oh, no, it's good.
not to put you on the spot. So one of the biggest issues with the city of Lake Quivira, not issues, but one of the biggest considerations is there's no real businesses to speak of other than Q Inc. So the first thing I did was reach out to Steve Sestak to let him know that this is something that I was doing some homework on, and if the city itself passed an ordinance like this, the biggest impact that would have, probably more so than the city itself, would be on Q Inc. And got his input. He's very much in favor of it. He thinks it would be well received by most. So that was kind of the biggest hurdle. That's not the right term to use, but something I wanted to address before it became a dog issue at Lake Quivira. Yeah. If you read in Olathe, it was a little bit messy. So anyway, I wanted to throw that out there, and in this email, I will pass along kind of a rough draft for people to consider. But generally speaking, the purpose of it is that employment, services, whatever, cannot be based on whatever is written in the NDO, that there can't be any discrimination against whatever class is identified. How'd I do on that?
That's pretty good.
Okay. Like I said, there's so many, well, what about this? What about that? I was, again, not expecting that. So I've got a little bit more homework to do on my end, but I do think it's something the council should give strong consideration to. I think it is the way a lot of things are going, but I also think it might be a good thing for Lake Quivira to be progressive in that versus reactive. So.
Yeah, I agree. I've been seeing it on the news a lot lately, and it's call it forward thinking or whatever, but I applaud you for reaching out and meeting with those two and getting ahead of it. I think that's great. Very positive thing in my opinion. So regarding the ordinance, so Ellis has had experience with this.
He has. And I'd be happy to visit with him and visit with him about kind of some of the pros and cons that he experienced kind of both behind the scenes and from the council perspective as well.
Yeah.
So I'd be happy to visit with him about that even before you go much further with it. He had some conversations with some of the other communities as well.
Yeah.
I'd like to visit with him because I know some of the things that he was anticipating maybe didn't happen. And as you indicated, there's always some things that pop up that aren't necessarily anticipated.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was my attempt to reach out to Ellis prior to the meeting, and it just didn't happen. So I will do that.
And I would say it's not something you want to rush into without kind of considering all of that, kind of getting some feedback both from him and some of the other communities that I know you probably had some contact with as well.
It's been a big topic of conversation at a lot of the city administrator and city manager meetings that I've been to lately. I know that
like some of the communities have had a ton of pushback, a lot of them from even outside influences. Westboro Baptist, for example, showed up at one of Umberland Parks when they were discussing it. So I know that it can get a little tricky.
Okay.
Jim, are we, it's always written up all the communities that are involved in that and, you know, what's going on in their meetings and all of this. And it's hard to imagine all of this, but it's a huge, so controversial.
I saw the Olathe one that you were talking about, and it was people standing up and screaming, and
but it feels like, you know, it wouldn't be here, but.
You never know.
I think it's a good thing. I think it's a positive thing. And get with Ellis and Michelle and have something at the next meeting.
Okay. Pitchforks and torches at the door.
We'll discuss it.
Some of those stories.
You guys have any questions for John on any of that stuff? No? Okay.
John, if you need help or advice from other cities and you're not anywhere, let me know too.
Well, and these, I actually know Corey and Courtney from a whole different, they've been pretty, they offered to come to meetings and explain that. But I think, as has been alluded to, this isn't something to just, like my first thought, it was, hey, what do you think of this? Let's go.
Six months of hearing about it later.
But I appreciate that, and I will keep moving this forward.
Cool. Okay.
Thank you, John. That's a treasure. Yep.
Okay, so I've got two things. The simple one is that I think when the last meeting I reported that I thought we were going to have to remove all of the shrubbery, as you leave the parking lot, and it was going to be barren, and then we would have to think about what to do. And as it turns out, you know, when you just sort of go by there, it looked like a couple of these things were all one, you know, one big unit. And actually, we were able to save three things. And Kathy can leave in, you know, anytime during the day, and people can come in the parking lot and out and not be fearful of getting hit, and it's not barren. And so we wait till spring and see there's a, you know, big rhododendron bush that probably will do well, and we'll see. So anyway, I was happy with that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if anybody had noticed that.
Yeah, I know. So where did they go?
Huh?
Where did they go? Where did they get repurposed?
Oh, no. Those couldn't.
Oh, they did? I thought you said they did.
Oh, no. No. Those aren't going to be repurposed.
In the yard waste.
I appreciate that. I know that's why you're out there. Like,
they're laying any of the
down. Like, they're managing the process.
Those were old, big old bushes and, were huge pine trees.
Yeah.
And once you start, taking them out, and they've all damaged each other. That was good. The other thing is I have a document that we can go over the bathroom remodel. That's the City Hall bathroom remodel that I think you guys all have. That was passed out. Kathy, I think, put it in your place, right?
Sorry.
You guys all have the right. I think I got something.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shelby, you want to see one as we go along?
Yeah.
You got one?
Yeah. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, so I know about a year ago we were talking about the bathroom remodel because it's kind of embarrassing, when people come into these chambers, for court or whatever it might be, and then if they need to use our restroom, it's like the lowest end of low, I think, practically, for a restroom. And so we had talked about improving that. And I know Fred had reached out to, this was a couple months ago, to somebody that he knew, and it was, we represented, I think, I don't even remember what it was, just say $2,900, or I don't even remember what the bid was, but to do some piece of this. And then we said, let's hold that for a while. And then, as it turns out, you know, my husband is in the plumbing supply, electrical, and, you know, all that business. And so I showed him the estimate. He says, wait a minute, whoa, what are we doing here? Let me see what I can, you know, what I can do. And so anyway, so we started working with Fred, and then he went back and checked with his companies and came up with some solutions. So basically, what the entire remodel is, and it feels like we need to just, one option is to just do it.
Do both bathrooms at the same time.
Well, of course, yeah. You do both bathrooms. Do not just do, let's replace the toilets, or let's replace the urinal, and then let's put the floor, and then later we'll do this, and then later we'll do that. So this is more looking at the project in its entirety. Okay, so the summary of the project in its entirety would be to remove the existing toilets in urinal. And so altogether there's two toilets, one in each restroom, and then one urinal. And there used to be a second toilet in the ladies' room, and that's been out of commission for...
Ever.
You don't ever remember when it was.
I've been here for 10 years, and it's always been that way. So.
And I have pictures of what this stuff looks like if you haven't been in them. But the next one is removing the existing sinks. That's one sink in each bathroom. The laminate countertops and the faucets in those in both of those bathrooms. Fred has already purchased the wood-like laminate flooring, which is nice looking. And it's already been used in one area of the, I believe, in the police area. And so we would lay that flooring over the existing flooring in both of those bathrooms. Then we would, and this is where Kent comes in to play, we would replace the plumbing fixtures with the following. They've done some big hotel projects, and they've ended up with some extras. And he can get a really, really, really super-duper feel on them. And so we would have under, and this would be similar to what the clubhouse has in their bathrooms. And I have a picture of this on the third page of what the clubhouse bathrooms look like. And it, I know you guys all go there and know that they're, you know, when they were redone about 3 years ago. They look so much better. So this would include undermount Kohler Laboratories white, high-end Chicago faucets deck mounted with 4-inch centers, chrome with a really, you know, really nice heavy faucets, American Standard Comfort Height toilets, the urinal, which I don't know what brand it is, but anyway, there's the urinal. Then this would include all the feet traps, and everything would be ADA compliant, actually, except for the urinal. Because the way the plumbing is in that, I had one of the Vielhauers out today, Vielhauer Plumbing, and it would be fairly expensive to have to put in an ADA urinal and change all of the plumbing in that wall and stuff. And so Fred, who gives the okay on whether we need to follow, we can do this. We can be
provided
ADA
that,
compliant and
the,
not have to
the,
replace the
since
urinal.
Since it's a single unit, the toilet would be ADA compliant. And
then this would include all of the things that go along that you need to attach all the plumbing. And then along with that, he's working with a granite quartz company off of Southwest Boulevard, close to one of these companies. And basically, they're going to give us the countertops. and I just have to go out over and pick it out because he's going to be working with them on their showroom remodel and stuff, and so it's kind of a give and take. And so so we would replace our countertops with either granite or quartz, whatever they have, you know, because we just need these little 47.5 size pieces.
And would they drill?
Oh yeah, they do that.
They would do everything.
They do the they
all
do
the fabrication
that.
And the.
They will do yes, they do all of that. That's part of their deal. And then the plumbing folks would come in and then. You know, they would attach the sink and put the
right.
You know, the hole in for the faucets, and then the plumbing folks would come in and do the actual, you know, plumbing of it. Let's see. The plumbers, the guy was here this afternoon. He did not believe that it looked like we had any extra demo needed. In other words, he wouldn't have to dig up pipes out of the floor or do anything like that. He thought this cost. Things look good, and that so basically he would just remove the existing plumbing and install. And of course, you know, if he ran into problems, well then you know we'd have to deal with that. We could use the existing mirrors and we could trim them out, kind of like the clubhouse mirrors are trimmed out. We would like to. This would come under Kent also is to purchase or to provide. Hand dryers for those restrooms instead of, it was interesting, the ladies, I don't remember what the men's are, but, you know, if you look at the pictures in here, I didn't put a picture of that when I went back in later this afternoon. There's two sets of towels. Well, one doesn't work. There's one that is does through motion, and the other is actual.
Oh yeah, there's just no towels in it. No.
Oh, there's no towels.
Yeah,
anyway,
no folding towels.
Two. I don't know why we have two huge things.
Yeah.
and then, but the big thing, and I reached out to Greg this morning, and I did leave a message with the guy that you recommended, Greg, for the wood stalls. If we want to replace the metal stalls. Or, and there's a possibility maybe we don't need any stalls, but, you know, when the clubhouse did this, we took all those metal stalls out and replaced them, and it was pretty inexpensive to do, and they were just painted. You know, the men's were, the men's may have been painted to look like a dark stain, and the ladies are nicer color, but it really makes a huge difference. Then also add hanging trash containers to this. And so far, what Kent had told me was that if we want to go forward, at least with the plumbing part of this, we need to agree, you know, see if we can agree to that today because they want to, you know, he won't be able to. I mean, this is like, way, way, way below wholesale, okay? And he, you know, we donate a lot to the community, and, you know, he'll donate, you know, I mean, we donate a lot of money and stuff to the community, and he said he would just like to be able to handle this in a more of a normal way, you know,
mm-hmm.
where we can take advantage of the really nice things that he has at a super, super, super low price versus us just donating. Is
right.
What we would prefer to do. And so that basically everything with all of the plumbing fixtures and you know, getting the granite stuff and all of that would be no more than $2,000. And their year-end is the end of January, and that's another reason why I would like to be able to do this, to be able to do that. And then I got the bid from the plumbing installer, or a plumbing installer, I can get another bid, and that was $950 to install the plumbing.
So what you're saying is, you would like to purchase these immediately and then store them here until
he would store.
He would store.
Yeah,
until we got bids for, you know, painting and the stalls and that type of deal.
Yeah, until we're ready to actually start. Yeah.
So you're saying if we want this good deal, we need to jump on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, otherwise they may not, you know, they may not be there. They may use something else.
No,
otherwise you can just go to Home Depot and get, you know, anything.
Do you know if the toilets are the elongated toilets?
Well, they are. They're the Comfort High.
Okay, and those are elongated?
Oh, you mean elongated? Oh, yeah. I don't know. We have Comfort High in all of our toilets. I think, aren't they?
I think they have to be the
yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
I also thought there was health code with that. I remember when I placed them with the Marina many years ago, but that was in Texas. But there's issues why they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Long
well, I guess if you came from a hotel, and,
it is ADA.
These are nice ones. And then, it had been suggested. So in the ladies' restroom, the toilet that went away years ago, so that spot is just like empty, you know. And there was a discussion today with Fred that, you know, maybe the ladies, the men's room could be in the ladies and, you know, swap and all that. And then we could put a fiberglass shower in there in the spot that I just wasn't in favor of.
In the new men's restroom for?
Yeah, if we switch. Remember we talked about a shower years ago. Yep. I just mentioned that in past history and I think we determine that if a shower ever comes about, if we decide to remodel anything else, when we figure out what to do with the fire department.
Because it's really but first you thought that the women needed to have, that we needed to have the two.
Right, I wasn't going to be the person deny the ladies a second toilet if they wanted one.
They have one toilet for the men's room and one for the, there's no dividers between the urinal and the bathroom. Do you need all the dividers in there?
Well, that's
just put a lock on the door.
A lock on the door. Is what we were.
There's not that much traffic coming
through. How often do you see a line at the bathroom door?
give us about 20 minutes.
because you know, okay, so if you have the ladies' room and then we don't need a second toilet, and then it was, you know, suggested, well, maybe we could have a kind of a storage area where the second toilet was. And then
just
that
one toilet that flushes.
Simple
request.
And then the only
not asking for much.
Because it's not like usually ladies aren't going to just come in and comb their hair. Oh, maybe you might while one person's in there, but this is not needed here. So
I like Kathy alone.
Yeah, she's in there. And so basically now it's like, okay, wait a minute. Why do you have to have the separators and make it one big room? And, you know, then you've got all the room you need.
Yeah, as long as there's a lock on the door.
And then we could put some really cool Lake Rivera photos, like really the heavy.
Yeah.
You know, maybe black and whites and stuff like that. Because I'm afraid, Greg, what do you think the cost of those, if we were doing those, that's going to cost several thousand dollars.
The painter's always proud of his work too. So just the cost of a painter to come in, stain silver, you have to be stained or painted.
Yeah.
So
okay.
A couple $1,000 maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so then we could just have, you know, just have an open bathroom and have nice fresh paint, you know, and make sure we have room to maybe some shelving or something like that. So.
Well, my thought is, that most Sinclair stations that you have to ask the attendant for a key that's tied to a baseball bat to go around are nicer than this. And
yeah.
I mean, that's bad when the truck driver is like, yeah, I would stop at Lake Rivera, I'll just build it. So this is something we need to do. I mean, am I understanding correctly? We may need to make the purchase of these items tonight, but then the next step would be to get an all-in bid and just get
drawings and a bid, and I mean.
Well, there won't be any drawings.
Yeah, I don't think we need.
Well,
there won't be any drawings because basically, if we don't need to design the wood stalls and doors that go on them and the shelving that might take the place of the ladies' toilet area that doesn't have a toilet in it.
Well, maybe a better way to ask the question: we don't have a final bid.
Well, the final, okay, so the only thing we have left to get is, if I understand it, Fred, is who installed the floor?
Me.
Yeah, and so is it your plan to install the floor in the bathrooms?
Sure.
When it's time?
Yep.
Yeah, so that cost is zero.
Yeah.
Okay,
here.
So, well.
Take note of this, of my duties.
We'll get your keys.
And remodeler.
And so basically what we have, what we have is the electrical for the hand dryers and the painting, the painting, and then any trim work that we might want to frame around the mirror if we wanted to do that. So, I mean, I can come back with next month, I can know more about the,
Right. But for tonight's purposes, we need $2,000?
There's
no reason
$2,000.
Okay.
No more than $2,000.
And I think we all agree that it's hideous and ugly in there. And, to get this good deal, I think.
Well, I will make a motion to approve not to exceed $2,000 the purchase of the fixtures and other bathroom related items that Gail has referenced in anticipation of a bathroom remodel.
We have a first and a second. Any opposed? Any discussion?
Brady, I think we're discussing over here maybe Gail not voting on this since it will be kind of through her husband's company.
She's going to pass no matter what.
Yeah, so well, she's
yeah. So
yeah.
I think you're.
We have a motion and a second.
We got John at first, Andy second.
Yep.
No discussion, all in favor? Any opposed?
And if you could indicate that you're recusing yourself for the minutes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see.
Motion passed.
Okay.
All right.
And so then as far as, our goal would be to get this done in February, I would think.
Wow, that
is you.
Yeah.
I
wanted to come 7 years ago, so.
From the floor.
The only thing that is scheduling is toilet up, flooring, toilet down, and I will work with the plumbers on that and or if the valves work and I can turn the water off, I'll pull one up and we'll have to get a lock on a door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if we're doing the lock part, we're going to need two new doors.
Well, should I amend the motion to say the $2,000 plus the cost of plumbing installation not to exceed $1,000 plus not to exceed $1,000 for other decorative items?
I think tonight was simply just purchasing these items at such a good deal.
Okay.
Right. The other items like the flooring, those amounts are minimal enough that if I decide to go buy a door, I can go buy a door. Or if Greg has a better source on a door, I'll reach out and go from there. So things like that.
Perfect.
I think everybody here will be as financially responsible as can be.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Gail? Okay.
Excited,
huh?
Yeah.
Under old business, we have a planning discussion for Fred Bronde.
I thought what we did last year.
Okay.
And
it coincides with large item pickup.
Yeah. So it would be last year was April 20th. So if April 22nd is a Wednesday, so what would this be? The
25th?
We would need to look at our calendar, I guess, and decide whether we wanted to move up or back.
18th or 25th.
You may want to check with Q-Link's calendar, too. I remember the second one I think we had, there was a conflict that caused reduced attendance or something.
There was a golf tournament.
That's
the same day.
Well, here, I've got the QJ calendar.
Yeah. Well, go to You'd have to be on the website. Does Lisa have up the full calendar?
For the whole year?
Okay, and so then what else?
Okay, so last year, we had a kickoff ceremony at the yacht club.
Uh-huh.
Everybody wore green. The whole family was invited. We broke up into different groups who were assigned different areas. We had the city provided a grilled hot dog lunch, and everybody brought a favorite side dish or dessert. And the teens got community points. We had a waste management gave us special permission, or they did a special extra picking up where they actually went to the docks and picked up things at the docks, and they went over here by the yacht club, and so it's just coordinating with them on lunch item pickup day. And then, of course, it was in conjunction with Fred Braun Day, and so I think there was some maybe presentation, or I don't know what it was during that for Fred.
There's mainly just the family discussed it, and so it wasn't really a presentation.
No, it was.
At the end, Mike had a little prize for the most unique things found for the kids and that. But
what were the hours, like 8:30 to 12?
This was
or?
Let's see. Large item pickup started at 7, and then this thing started at 9:30 at the yacht club.
9:30.
And it was finished by noonish.
It was about 2 hours of picking up, and then we all met back there. And with Deaf and Ball, I think you set it up, but they understand they come back there and do one final pickup, and then we take pictures of them. And
yeah. And then how did we promote that last year?
Oh, we had, it was in the e-news. It was flyers delivered, I think, to black boxes.
We did do flyers, okay.
Yep. Yeah.
I would definitely do that,
I
mean, yeah.
And
Yeah.
So I just assumed
that was
the same thing.
No, that's great. I would also get with Kathy. She can put it on our website.
Mm-hmm.
She can send that out on the notification app also. Q News, we can get to them.
And E News, and it was, I think the flyer was posted in the, or not E News, the Quiver.
Yes.
We can also put it on the Trails Facebook page. So okay. As soon as you get the dates, we can start some of that.
Yeah.
And Gail, the opening day golf tournament is April 25th. Mm-hmm. I know that may not
that
be.
That was the tournament that.
So we might want to focus more on the 18th, mm-hmm. Check with Lisa Smith, but that's what I would say.
I think you'll be fine.
Cool.
Yeah, Saturday, April 18th.
Okay. Let's try and get that finalized for February meeting, so at that point it's 2 months away. So. Okay, new business, erosion control with new construction projects. Very green, and I think maybe Fred has some input on this. I think recently we've had a lot of calls and complaints about erosion control, and I think part of it was timing too. We had a lot of construction going on certain streets, and with the snow we had and the mud and all that, I just think it was a little bit more glaring. But having said that, Fred and Greg have kind of looked at what Shawnee does and stuff that we can do different. So, go for it.
All right, let me start.
Sure,
go ahead. I know a number of the guys at the Shawnee Codes Department asked them what their policies were. Fred also sent us all of our ordinances, which we have very similar. Ours are the adequately restored any breached areas before the end of each working day. What Shawnee's is a 4-hour notice to have it fixed. The temporary access path for rock and gravel provided construction sites it's a 2-inch. That way, when you do have mud on your tires, the gravel doesn't stick to your tires. The 2-inch is larger or it doesn't stick to tires. Just having some of the Fred sent out the now my computer just died, but the Johnson County the flyer for erosion control. Thank you. The sediment control for individual building lots, which is more that's a county, is that right?
Right, that's basically a lot of what we went for, is we refer back to the links to the county, and along with what you sent out, unless I'm getting ahead of you. The city doesn't have its own specific, like, is it land disturbance or soil disturbance ordinance, which is something I touched on briefly when we were revisiting the zoning and subdivision regulations. Basically, it's on what's required for permitting and what's not. And I explained a lot of the issues about even just landscaping and what happens with that. So if something evolves out of this, I would definitely like to get to that. But we also have to keep in mind staffing capabilities, permitting for that increased type of activity. So one of those things. Well, I think that would be a long range and something we may have to budget for as well, staffing-wise, because that's going to increase significantly if we have to pull permits on landscaping or anything that meets the requirements or definition of what a soil disturbance or land disturbance is.
On some of the construction ones, I went by, just on my way home, I went through the 100 block Terrace Trail West, and some of them, they had a big pile of gravel, like they're getting ready to start pour the driveway, so all their construction subcontractors were driving in the front yard, and you could see where they had routed it up back and forth and driving it. And sometimes those guys, this is a stereotype, but they'll get in their car and they'll hit the gas and spin their mud everywhere. It was kind of occurring on that street up there. I just noticed on going that one, the one on the first cove on Lakeshore, they put the wattles up, those straw hay bales, if you stake it in the ground. Those look more expensive than a silk fence, but you can drive over them, so they're a little more durable. Those are harder to get rid of at the end. Silk fence, you can kind of wad up, you can throw it on the back of something. But those big wattles, they get pretty heavy fast when you're dealing with long footages of it. And you cut it up or deal with it.
They soak up the water and just get heavy?
Yeah, so they're pretty reusable. Yeah. Where a silk fence has to actually be, if you look on some of them, they get tacked back up with a hammer, but they're pretty worthless. Because when the silk comes, it just runs right over it, kind of like a bed sheet. Whereas they're supposed to be trenched in with a machine and backfilled up against so they actually can hold. They need the strength at the bottom as well at the top, because it helps them carry that belly sometimes if they have a lot of silk. Helps protect them in there. I did talk with Tyler, the chief building codes for Shawnee. If Fred was interested, I think I might be interested in email. I apologize. I didn't realize you didn't want to. So sorry about that.
We still need to get together sometime and go.
I'd be happy to join him also. I don't want Tyler to think now I'm in charge of Shawnee stuff. But I work with Tyler. I think some of those houses now have driveways, so maybe that is going to be up there. Is that the right thing?
The 133 does have driveways now, and that was stemming from a lot of those complaints. They were in the in-between times of trying to put in a driveway, and when their silt fence was down, which brought up some complaints. Where's the silt fence? Well, we're trying to put a driveway.
And there is that balance also when you're grading a yard, you have to remove the silt fence to grade it. And the end of the day,
right.
For ordinance, you got to get your silt fence back at the same day.
And when I drove by 133 today, they're starting to put topsoil in, so they have to take the silt fence down, and that brought up another complaint because the subcontractor dumped the topsoil in the alley and blocked the alley until they could get it. So that created another nasty grab to a contractor. So, but yeah.
I mean, the ordinance that we have, I was just diving through that, and I think we've got we have good teeth here to work with.
But I do agree that, I think there's a house up from you that they're doing a lot of landscaping. It's not permitted. What they're doing isn't prohibited, but there's a lot of bare dirt, and keep waiting. Are they going to do something with that, or be nice to rap on their door and say, something's got to be done.
And the word spreads amongst those subcontractors also when they realize that they're starting to get beat on a little bit. They all start talking. They're like a bunch of schoolgirls. They all gossip. So that word will spread out. That we want to be hard to work with, but
like John mentioned earlier, our lake's filled in halfway. So it's one way to help prevent it.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's their overall attitude. Unfortunately, when they come in, it is, oh, small city, not much enforcing going on. Let's see what we can get away with. And this this happens all the time, especially when you have two big houses being built on one street. Again, just bad timing. And that person who might be complaining about those two houses, they're not driving around the lake looking at all the other job sites. But having said that, I still think we need to do a good job and stay on top of them. But I also don't want to make it this place where nobody wants to come and build because, boy, we can't go a day without, getting a stop work order or something to that effect, too. So I'd like to find that balance where we do enforce, enough that's appropriate because we do have that lake to protect. But at the same time, I don't want the builders to start thinking about paying the butt. I'm not building a house in that city, which I think you guys both realize that with the business you're in and with you've been doing the building official stuff for a while. But I'd like to just try and keep that balance. And
all the builders, they know the rules.
Well, they do. But like I said, they're coming into a small city thinking, not much is worse than here. Like, let's see what we can get away with.
I'd be happy calling them also. Half of them I kind of know.
Okay.
But sure. I might need the phone number, so I'll call and say, hey, I might blame you a little bit too, but
you do that.
But I'm not opposed to being a bad guy either, saying, hey, the rules here. This is.
Yeah, well, specifically to that dumping the stuff right on the alleyway, I even put that on the front of the permits. So it's right there. I said, hey, come on. Okay, I don't know why my sub did that, but I'll make sure it's taken care of.
Well, I appreciate it, Greg. You got a unique position there to be able to say, hey, this is a courtesy call. This came up at the meeting. I just wanted to kind of let you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That I don't think any of the rest of us would be capable of pulling off as effectively. So.
And that is something to consider in the future. If we do have to, add additional staff or sub it out to Shawnee or whatever. So
there, Gord Energy does do subdivision inspections. I'm sure they'll do anything for money. They do inspections for subdivisions. I think it's every month after a 2-inch rain, or maybe it's every week. I can't remember. It could be something subbed out as well.
Yeah, that's good to know. I know that was a go-to place if we had to, if I had a contractor that wasn't a client, that was my go-to company to say, hey, come out here and put up the silt fence, and then we would, in turn, charge the contractor, homeowner, or whichever, or have to take it out of their performance deposit.
The thing I sent you from Shawnee, you see on the back of it, all the pricing that Shawnee charges?
I glanced at that, yeah.
Okay.
And that's one of the things that... since we don't have a public works department, we would have to either subcontract with Q-Inc. if they had the time to do that. And that's one of the hurdles that we have here in this small city is that we can't lean on a public works department to say, hey, come scoop this stuff up and we're going to build.
Gordon Energy has a lot of services that it's kind of like a lot of just little things. Like they've got street sweepers and they've got, they try and do an extra service.
Okay.
They've got quite a bit of, they can be a value.
Sounds like they are a good resource. That'd be great.
What was the name of that company?
Gordon Energy. Do you have their contact number?
Yeah, I've called them a couple times, so.
Unfortunately, I know them very well, so if you need them to show up on
your phone. Well, if you have a go-to person, that would be helpful.
Maybe I used them enough to know.
Yeah, I just went through general contacts for sales and pricing. So,
yeah. Thanks, guys. Stay on top of it. Sounds like you are. Okay, any other new business anybody needs to go into?
I have one thing I wanted to bring up real quick. If ladies have been on Women of LQ, people are already complaining about it. I received a call from Shawnee's city manager this week saying that they are no longer allowing residents to file odor complaints through the Shawnee Connect app.
Ooh, really?
If for the newbies, Ben and I had attended a meeting with Shawnee in October about their social media person who ran the Shawnee Connect app felt like our residents were taking advantage of it, not filling out the actual information that was needed. And so they told us at that meeting that they were now requiring a name and either an email or a phone number at a minimum. Apparently, there have been a lot of fake emails, fake phone numbers given, things like that. Still, the getting submitted multiple times, that kind of a thing. People getting the email from the Shawnee Connect app saying that if you've ever filed a complaint, then you get an email afterwards that says your case has been closed. What that means is it's been forwarded on to Waste Management. People were getting upset thinking that it was closed, but it's still smelling. If you're telling me it's closed, then it shouldn't smell anymore, that kind of a thing. So they are switching everyone through Waste Management's insistence to a general complaints line that supposedly we've been reassured will be answered 24/7. It will be passed on to whoever at Waste Management needs that. But now that we've gotten everyone to use the Shawnee Connect app, now we have to backtrack and get them to call the number. So,
do we have a phone number?
The phone number is 913-894-3777. This morning when I tried to file a complaint, it just came back and said, you can't, on the Shawnee Connect app. A resident posted on Women FLQ that this afternoon when it smelled, she tried to file a complaint on Shawnee Connect, and it does now redirect you to the phone number and it gives it. But this resident in particular was complaining that notice had not been given.
Right.
They just contacted us today.
Okay, and so that phone number goes to?
That goes to a 24/7 Waste Management customer service line now.
So the city's not involved anymore.
Correct.
Okay.
Shawnee has washed their hands. So, yeah.
Okay.
Well, this is one of my areas of focus.
Yeah, so Gail kind of handles the trash and recycling, and Dave kind of does deals with the odor. So he's gonna contact Waste Management just periodically and just see how that bill is coming. When they expect it to be done, completed.
That's what I plan to do is get a hold of Mike Hay. Say hey. And
I was a little frustrated, I'm not going to lie, that I was contacted by Shawnee's city manager and not Mike himself or anyone from Waste Management.
Yeah.
John Blessing, our neighborhood representative, did not reach out. Mike and I have had a great working relationship, nothing. I found out all this from a voicemail from Shawnee's city manager, which I understand the Shawnee Connect not being a part of it anymore. But if they're sharing this number with Shawnee residents, then I feel like he should have contacted us himself.
Yeah, I'd be happy to pass that frustration along to him. I've got a long history of conversations with him that I can.
Like I said, we had just met with him right at the end of October. That's when we did an article in the Quiberon about what happens when you file a complaint. We tried to do, we let them publish something that they wanted to.
Yeah.
And then now all of a sudden.
So there's a high number of complaints, they now just want you to call them directly.
Right.
Apparently.
So is that something that Kathy can put on her website?
Yeah, Kathy said she's going to take down the Shawnee Connect app from our website.
We had that?
Yeah. And add this number instead. But, and then, of course, I think they're also thinking that if they're offering a phone number, then it's not just click, click, click. I wonder about what the wait time is going to be like on this phone number. I wonder how many calls are actually going to get responded to. That kind of thing.
And is this for just odor complaints? Just
supposedly it is for just odor complaints.
Okay. Well, that's the answer.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
So, I'm interested now. Don't be surprised if you
hear
some angry residents about that.
Sorry for keeping you guys so late. We do have a executive session. I'm guessing probably that's for the time.
Yep.
Probably a 12-minute executive session.
12.
Awesome.
Turn it off.
And So I cannot make that motion, but it's the in regards to the pay ordinance for 2020 relating to non-elected personnel.
And do we need two executive sessions?
Sorry, no, the first one is we can't go into tonight. So it's
okay.
The second one.
Okay,
and
so this.
Can you clarify that you will not be actually passing the ordinance or that you're just discussing the information involved in a proposed ordinance? You would not actually be discussing or passing an ordinance in executive session. It's just discussing the information related to, like you say, the pay ordinance.
Pay ordinance relating to non-elected personnel.
Right.
So
yeah.
we need to recess from this meeting, correct? Mm-hmm. So I need a motion to recess from the...
You can do all into one, just recess in the executive session for
okay.
the purpose of...
Motion to recess into executive session for the purpose of pay ordinance for 2020 relating to non-elected personnel. Have entertained the motion.
So moved.
And returning no sooner than 9, what'd you say, 12 minutes? 17?
Yeah.
Oh, and then who will be in the executive session? Sorry.
Who will be in it?
Yes. Will anyone other than the governing body?
Yourself.
So we just need to designate that as well.
Okay. So I have a motion from John Christie.
Second.
I have a second.
Second. That's best.
Any opposed? Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
You got that reporter, Kathy?
I want an executive session. Michelson was famous for, I want an executive session for 5 minutes, and 30 minutes later we would come.
We've never set a time.
Yeah. Yeah. First step.
Or said until this time.
Got it.
So.
Well, so we're going
to
put the quarterback on. And
so yes,
that's
what
we voted for you, Mayor Brady.
Okay. All right.
So do I just know, just indicate you're back in the session at whatever time?
9 o'clock.
Just indicate that. And then do you need to take any action at this time on that?
Right. Okay. So no more discussion about anything. We can adjourn the meeting. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Who are you, Joe?
Any discussion? Any opposed? All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.